Everyone's so quiet.
I'm waiting for a funeral.
How's everybody today?
Great, thank you.
Good. Is Conrad coming?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Charlie, how proficient in spin has you?
It's off the charts.
Good.
I just do not know how the inshore fishing gets better and better every year. And more people.
The weather's been good, so.
It is. I mean, the boat ramp is full starting Wednesday. All the way through the weekend.
Starting on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's looked like scallop season down there all winter.
Oh my God.
You wouldn't believe it.
No, that's good.
Starting Wednesday, almost every motel in the book, I've never seen people so drawn to the water and the fish.
Do you think it's word of mouth, or is it advertising, or what?
You know, I think probably some of both. People are just very comfortable spending a little bit of money, and they can do that fishing. And their families, you know, it's not just guys, it's great. And that's what you see around with them this weekend. They're on the water more now, they're out of the woods for the turkey season. And they didn't have one case Wednesday through Sunday. So it's just, it's a lot of pain.
Yeah, and I look at your email that you sent out, and there are a lot of families. I look at all the photos, and lots of families from all over the place.
All over.
Wow.
But there is a lot of traffic going through our little coastal community right now. Mm-hmm. It's been manageable from the standpoint of the calm. Not a lot of problems. Typically, when we get to a lot of things, it's not supposed to be like.
So, Conrad's on his way?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we're just waiting on our turn. He should be here in a minute, then we'll start the meeting.
It's not like anything. You hear me, Stature? And Archer, don't we get here, Mayor's telling you to leave. And not supposed to go to the beauty, the cancer. You get there, we have the life first. He's good, he's good.
He's the one saying that.
Not that one.
Not even the one.
We're talking about the end.
Yes, they don't.
Yeah.
He's a good boy, but I was actually had it.
He's good.
Awesome show. She's kind of sweet, I'm looking down. But she's still out.
That was sorry.
No, true. Only doing that, sorry, right? He's awesome. This was a, this is the talk, you were for some. First one, small bit.
You're the long one.
And, only I'm going to do. He was like, fine.
You want to stand this morning for County Commissioner Pat Patterson from New Brooklyn Missionary Baptist Church. It's going to lead us in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good morning to everyone that's present. I count it an honor as well as a great privilege to be a representative of our Most High God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come. We come this morning, Father, to say thank you. We thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to assemble ourselves again at this Board of County Commission meeting. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would just strengthen us, Father. Just keep us, Lord. Help us keep our eyes and our minds stayed fast on you, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask you to strengthen this board, Father. Ask you to strengthen them as a board and strengthen them as individuals, Father. Ask you to just keep them in your care right now. Ask you to bless our attorney, Lord Jesus, as well as our clerk and her staff as well. We just thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, that they are able to represent the people of this county. That you continue to bless Taylor County, Father. As you bless our children, Lord, keep your hand on our children. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over our children. Just have mercy on them right now, Lord. Father, I ask you to protect those men and women who are standing around the world protecting our freedom so that we'll be able to have a meeting such as this, Father. Well, Lord, just thank you right now, Father. We bless your holy name. And Lord, I ask you to bless those families who are in bereavement, Lord. To strengthen them, Father. Oh, Lord, let them realize that you are there for them, Father, that they may lean on you, Father, for their strength. For you are the one with all the power. Oh, Lord, we just ask you to bless, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's always an honor to have you here for your inspirational prayer to come back any time.
Thank you. It's a privilege to come back. To be able to come back. Thank you.
Thank you.
God have a good day.
I'd like to welcome everyone here today. And we have a special group here today. We have the Point of Grace Christian School American Government class attending, and their teacher, John Price. If you all would please just stand up and be recognized. Thank you for being here today. I'd like to say that our next meeting is a workshop, and it's next Tuesday, April the 23rd at 6 p.m. It's open to the public. It's all our meetings, and we'd love for you to come back. At this time, we'll go to item number 3, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes, additions, or anything else to this morning's agenda? If not, is there a motion to approve?
I move. Second.
And a motion by Commissioner Gibbs, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Bids and public hearings, number 4, the board should receive bids for purchase of old hospital property set for this date at 9 a.m. or as soon thereafter as possible.
We have not given bids.
No bids, no. So, yes.
So what I would suggest is we try to solicit this as much as possible. Most of what I found out there from the Google searches was there are outlets for federal properties. There appear to be outlets for state properties. There wasn't, it seems, a lot of marketing opportunities, direct marketing opportunities for kind of your local or your municipality type properties. But one thing I did find, and it was during the process, which we was obviously already soliciting, was there is something called government deals. And this government deals, and I have copies of that, this information that I'd like to give you. And this is just, you know, my suggestion as a kind of an alternative to take this, to try to bring it to fruition. And this government deals is they do deal with kind of our local jurisdictions, our municipalities and our county governments, that they use an online auction process. And I've spoken to this Miss Kurtz, and she is kind of our local liaison for this area. And what they do is we, very much like we put our solicitation out on the market, they do the same thing. Obviously, they are much more versed in the locations and the different bidders that are looking for this type of property. I think she even, as you go through some of this literature, you'll see that, I want to say they have 700 active bidders, and that number's growing every day. They give you some sales histories there that they've done with the city of Jacksonville. They've got a few standing contracts, one of them I think is with Pinellas County, and I think also Jacksonville. And it's very much like what we're doing. They take the property and run it through an auction process. That's an online auction process. They recoup whatever fees we feel are required, inclusive of a minimum bidding threshold, as well as any fees for their process are all collected from the bidder themselves. So my suggestion is, and your workshop is next week, I believe it is, next Tuesday, is maybe look at this information and possibly discuss it further if at that workshop, if we'd like to maybe consider this route. They said for a typical properties, they generally advertise, or the advertising process to award generally takes 4 to 6 weeks. For larger commercial type properties, they suggest going the 6 to 8 week range. So it's not that much of a delay with the potential for a much greater exposure than I think we were able to achieve, if it's something that you guys would like to consider.
I can speak for myself. I think it's a great idea. Let's put it on the agenda for next week for the workshop, and hopefully we can move forward and find a winner, buyer.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to say one thing about it. I don't want us to drag this thing out any longer than we have to. But 15 years is enough.
Yes.
And we've had an offer on it in the past. And now that we've went through the legal process of bidding it out, we could sell it now to somebody that wanted it without having to go back through that process, I believe. Isn't that right, Mr. Conrad?
Yes. Well, if you look at the letter on this, you'll see the lady was willing to do an on-site visit to discuss this with the board. I will see if she is available to come at the next Tuesday meeting so that you can ask questions of her specifically. I can't see that it would be a bad thing to at least make an attempt at this.
I'd like to look at the options, and I'd like to hear her presentation. you know, we do want to sell the hospital, but we also want to, you know, try to get the best that we can. So, yes, have her to come.
I will make that announcement.
I concur with the chair. I'd like to just look at this process.
Yes, sir.
Since it comes at no cost to the taxpayer.
That's correct.
There's no commission that we had paid.
There's actually no contractual commitment. You know, I referenced the one in Pinellas County, but there is not a contractual commitment that is required. Plus, we can describe all the circumstances of the property now so the bidders are fully aware of that. We can impose what type of deed the final transaction will require. All of that can be handled with our solicitation. Matter of fact, when you start reading it, I think it's the next to the last page that's here that describes the type of information that they require. We've already got 99% of that in the solicitation that we provided, and she's looked at that, and she knows that we're ahead of the curve for going forward with us with an advertisement if that's the route. But we had to wait for the bid process to stop and be completed before we could pursue the online process.
Do we have the option to decline any bid that's presented?
Yes, ma'am. It actually says in there, that saying, if you look at the frequently asked questions on the back page, it says, you know, if I were to get a bid and I have to take it to my board for final approval, you know, am I allowed to do that? And it said, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so it's just a contingency.
Appreciate your finding this, and we'll talk about it Tuesday.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Award and recognition number 5. The board to consider adoption of a proclamation declaring April as Child Abuse Prevention Month, as agended by Linda Peacock, Guardian Ad Life. Normally at this time, I ask for a motion to read a proclamation, but before we do that, I'd like to ask Linda Peacock if you would come forward and just tell us about what this means to you and the organization. All of you know that Linda Peacock has been with Guardian Ad Litem for a long time. I think retirement is coming pretty soon, and what a sad, it's going to be a sad day for Taylor County when you retire. But thank you for all your service for what you've done for this community.
Thank you. You should have said that last. I want to thank the commission and thank the citizens of Taylor County for the support.
I'm sorry. I'm fine with you.
Today our local office is assigned to represent 108 children in our county. It's important that the community be aware of the child abuse and the lifelong effects on these children. It's been my pleasure to serve the county for 25 years. And I'm going home in June. But I just want to thank you for acknowledging this proclamation. And know that it is important for our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you enough, Linda, for your service. Now, is there a motion to read this proclamation in its entirety?
Sorry.
I have a motion by Commissioner Gibbs. Is there a second?
Second
by Commissioner Murphy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop?
Child Abuse Prevention Month Proclamation. Whereas Florida's future depends on nurturing the healthy development of our children, and whereas the mission of the Guardian Ad Litem program is to promote and protect the best interests of abused and neglected children involved in dependency court proceedings through advocacy efforts of trained volunteers, and whereas in the Third Judicial Circuit, which includes Columbia, Dixie, Hamilton, Lafayette, Madison, Suwanee, and Taylor counties, more than 518 children are involved in the dependency courts, and the Guardian Ad Litem program represents 432 of them. And whereas the abuse and neglect children can cause severe, costly, and lifelong problems, and whereas children who are represented by a Guardian Ad Litem are likely to spend less time in foster care, less likely to return to foster care, are more likely to be adopted, do better in school, and score better on several key protective factors that contribute to positive, lawful behavior. And whereas every child has a right to a safe, healthy, and happy childhood where they are educationally and developmentally on track, and whereas individuals, businesses, schools, and faith-based and community organizations must make children a top priority and take action to support the physical, social, emotional, and educational development and competency of all children, and whereas the blue and silver pinwheel stands as a symbol of the health and happiness of all children deserve, and whereas during the month of April, Prevent Child Abuse in Florida, in collaboration with the Governor's Office of Adoption and Child Protection, the Guardian Ad Litem Program, the Florida Department of Children and Families, and Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida will implement Pinwheels for Prevention, a statewide campaign promoting awareness of healthy child development, positive parenting practices, and the type of concrete support families need within their communities. Now, therefore, the Taylor County Board of County Commissioners do hereby proclaim April 2019 as Child Abuse Prevention Month and urge all Floridians to engage in activities whose purpose is to strengthen families and communities to provide the optimal environment for healthy child development. Passed in regular session this, whatever the date is, of April 2019, which is the 16th, because yesterday was the 15th.
That's right.
Which is the worst day of the year.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adopt this proclamation declaring April as Child Abuse Prevention Month?
Move.
Second. Okay, we've got a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 6, the board to consider adoption of a proclamation declaring May the 7th, 2019 as North Central Florida Regional Planning Council Day as agendaed by Scott Coons in a NCFRPC. I understand that you have a little presentation. We'll do that first.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm Scott Coons, Executive Director of North Central Florida Regional Planning Council. I'm very pleased to be here today to talk to you about the Regional Planning Council and our 50 years. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, and I'm going to ask you to consider the proclamation following a few moments reviewing our duties and responsibilities and some of the projects we've been engaged in the past 50 years. So we're celebrating our first 50. We're looking forward to our second 50 years today. So a little bit about who we are, what we do, and our 50-year history and a brief summary. The Council is an association of local governments comprised of counties and cities across North Central Florida. We're part of a statewide network of 10 councils across the state. Our mission is to improve the region's citizens' quality of life through enhancing public safety, protecting regional resources, promoting economic development, and providing technical services to local governments. The region is now comprised of 12 counties and 40 municipalities. 13 of those municipalities are member cities, including the city of Perry. It's one of the largest regions in geography. We cover 8,000 square miles and have a population of just over 560,000. The council itself is made up of 2/3 local elected officials and 1/3 gubernatorial appointees. Commissioner Demps is the current representative representing Taylor County on the board. Under state law, counties are required to be members, and in the North Central Florida cities can be voluntary members. This next slide is the 12 member counties, and following that is the current 13 member cities. We're governed by an executive committee. Our current chair is Mayor Davis from the city of Waldo. Our vice chair is Commissioner Wilker from the city of Alachua. Our secretary treasurer is Commissioner Chesnick from Alachua County. And our executive committee member is Mr. Demps, here from Taylor County. And our media past chair is Ms. Thomas, a gubernatorial appointee from Dixie County. We also have a number of ex officio member state agencies that participate in our meetings and provide timely updates and information about their activities to the council and our member local governments. It includes Department of Economic Opportunity, Environmental Protection, Transportation. Some of our friends are here from Transportation this morning. And a couple of the three water management districts that cover our region. Council is engaged in a wide variety of activities, ranging from regional. We have a strategic regional policy plan, which we update every 5 years, similar to the county's local government comprehensive plan. We also provide advisory comments to federal agencies that, for federal grant and loan applications that may have an impact on the physical environment. We also provide advisory comments to local governments and local government comprehensive plan amendments. Our second area is public safety. We work with the North Central Florida Local Emergency Planning Committee, made up of first responders, fire rescue, law enforcement, emergency management, emergency medical service from across North Florida. They meet quarterly. They have a hazardous material response plan that they exercise each year, and the council provides staff support to them. In transportation, we serve as the official planning agency for the state-funded transportation disadvantage program for 11 of our 12 counties in North Florida, but not Taylor County. We also work with the City of Gainesville and Alachua County on their urban transportation planning projects. In the area of economic development, we're a U.S. Department of Commerce Economic Development District. We work with local governments, economic development organizations, and working to diversify the economy of our region through our comprehensive economic development strategy. We do econometric modeling, evaluate projects, determine the secondary employment from the project, the amount of income and wealth that we generated, population increase, and ad valorem taxes to be generated. We also provide grant assistance to cities and counties to secure federal and state infrastructure dollars for job creating projects. Our fifth and final area is local government assistance. We have two activities there. We work with a number of rural counties and smaller cities throughout our region in complying with the State Community Planning Act as a service we provided here, working with your staff in Taylor County for a number of years. We also work in the state, in the federally funded community development block grant program. We've secured over $50 million for over 100 projects for communities across North Central Florida, many of those in the city of Perry and several in Taylor County in the past years. So as I mentioned, we're celebrating our 50th anniversary. On May 7, 1969, five local governments and elected officials representing Alachua County, the City of Alachua, the City of Gainesville, the City of Hawthorne, and the City of High Springs came together to form North Central Florida Regional Planning Council, recognizing the value of working together with their neighbors. And then over the next several years, joining counties became members, and on June 1st, 1975, next slide. Taylor County became a member along with the City of Perry of the Regional Planning Council. Then in the later 70s, additional counties and cities joined through the early 80s, and our most recent addition was Levy County in 2016, when the state legislature amended the boundaries of the Regional Council and assigned Levy County to the North Central Florida region. So what was life like 50 years ago in 1969? The population of the state was 6 million. Today our population is over 21 million. We are now the third largest state in the nation, behind California and Texas. The regional population was under a quarter million, 225,000. We're now over half a million. The county population is 13,000. The population today is over 22,000, nearly double in 50 years. The president was Richard Nixon, and our governor was Claude Kirk Jr. A couple of events that occurred in 1969 was the year of construction began at Walt Disney World. Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, and the Boeing 747 took its first flight. In the economy, gasoline was 32 cents a gallon. Not $3.32, 32 cents a gallon. You buy a loaf of bread for less than a quarter, a gallon of milk cost you over a dollar, you buy yourself a brand new automobile, $2,000. New car, $2,000. The average income was $6,500. A new house, average cost was $40,000. In the world of entertainment and sports and the movies, the best picture for the Oscar was Midnight Cowboy. In the world of music, the best song of the year Grammy was Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In by the Fifth Dimension. In the world of sports, it was clearly the year of the underdog. In the World Series, the expansion team, the New York Mets, known as the Miracle Mets, was a very young team. They defeated the much more experienced and heavily favored Baltimore Orioles in 5 games. Also in Super Bowl III, that time the American Football League champion New York Jets defeated the underdog New York Jets, defeated the very heavily favored Baltimore Colts, the champions of the National Football League, by a score of 17-6. Let's review some of the projects decade by decade. Our first decade of the 1970s, the first couple of projects focused on the Gainesville urban area for a transportation study and a stormwater study. We assisted the first rural county outside Alachua County to adopt its first local government comprehensive plan, filed our first community development block grant application, received that designation as Economic Development District from the U.S. Department of Commerce. The council adopted its first regional plan in that decade, and also began providing service in the Metropolitan Planning Organization and Gainesville. In the second decade, the 1980s, the council adopted its first overall economic development plan program to diversify the economy in the region. We completed a research and development park feasibility study for Alachua County, which led to the development of Progress Park in the city of Alachua. At that time, the state legislature was considering designating the floodplain of the Suwannee River and its tributaries as an area of critical state concern. That would have occurred. Local zoning subdivision regulations in the floodplain of the river and its tributaries would be subject to state review and approval. In response to that proposal, the council appointed the Suwannee River Committee, made up of elected officials from the local governments along the river. They met for several years, developed a model ordinance for counties to consider to protect vegetation on the stream bank and establish a construction setback. Every county along the river adopted that model ordinance, and as a result of that, the state did not designate the Suwannee River as a very critical state concern. We completed our first regional inland hurricane shelter study. I worked here in Taylor-Dixon County as a coastal hazard mitigation projects. Worked in the Southeast Gainesville Commercial Retail Revitalization Study. Also at that time, the state legislature passed a law requiring all counties to have mined landfills. Part of that, landfills were unmined. There's considerable leachate into the groundwater. This new requirement is going to be a considerable cost and expense to particularly smaller rural counties in North Florida. In response to that, the council formed a task force, engaged a consultant, and completed a regional solid waste management master plan. The objective of the study initially was to see if we could come up with one single regional landfill where all the counties could participate and take advantage of the economies of scale of having one central facility. We didn't quite get there, we got very close. We ended up with several multi-county landfills, which Taylor County participates in the Acela Solid Waste Association up in Madison County with four counties. And over in Union County, there's a New River landfill that serves five of our eastern counties. We also began providing annual services to counties to help them comply with another new state law that requires counties to go out and monitor 20% of businesses and hazardous waste in their activities, usually used motor vehicle fluids or dry cleaning chemicals are most common. In our third decade of the 90s, the council became involved in a workforce program. Today it's known as Career Source. At that time, it was the Job Training Partnership Act. We served as administrator for that program for a number of years, worked with a private industry council and local employers to provide on-the-job training for individuals. Began working with the Local Emergency Planning Committee, which I referenced earlier. We also formed the original Florida Tourism Task Force at that time. This is an association now of counties across North Florida. Taylor County has been a participating member since its inception, the early 1990s. Dawn Taylor is one of your representatives and serves as the chair of the task force at this time. Your other representative on that organization is Sandy Beach. And the council provides staff support to them to this day, helping them advance their marketing program. And we hope a little bit of the work that they do in promoting and advertising North Florida for, as Visit National North Florida for ecotourism, heritage-based tourism, cultural-based tourism, and through their website and attending trade shows, some of the increased activity you're seeing in your coastal communities and fishing that you were speaking about earlier. And received a designation from the State Commission on Transportation Services for this disadvantaged program at that time. Began our annual local government comprehensive planning services in response to helping counties and cities comply with the new Growth Management Act, now the Community Planning Act, and that's the service we provide here in Taylor County. Adopted our first comprehensive economic development strategy, which was the successor to the original overall economic development program. Also, during this decade, the citizens of the state, as many of you well know, adopted through referendum a prohibition on net fishing, which had a devastating impact on our coastal communities here in Taylor and Dixie and our neighbors to the south in Union County. In response to that, the council appointed the Big Bend Tri-County Task Force, made up of elected officials from the three counties and fishermen. And working with them for several years, helped them get organized and start the now very flourishing and prosperous clam farming industry on the Gulf Coast. Also completed some local mitigation strategies for counties across North Florida, including Taylor County. In our fourth decade, in the 2000s, the council formed the North Central Florida Regional Hazardous Materials Response Team, made up of fire rescue departments from most of our central and eastern counties to help them work together for hazardous material incidents. There was a proposal at that time before the state legislature to establish a state water board. This would have been an appointed body which would have had authority to make decisions to transfer water from water-rich areas, such as North Florida, to border port areas at that time, particularly Tampa Bay region and other areas in Central and South Florida. Council evaluated that recommendation, identified the adverse environmental economic impacts that it had on our region, helped organize some of the opposition, and that proposal was not adopted by the legislature, and to this day, those decisions are made on a regional basis by the five water management districts across the state. Council began providing economic impact analysis modeling, also formed the Interstate 75 Corridor Council, the local governments along the I-75 corridor, working with the Florida Department of Transportation to enhance landscaping at the interchanges in I-75, which is now largely implemented in the past several decades, as well as to provide additional wayfinding signage, and most recently you may have noticed the new welcome sign at the state line in I-75 coming into Georgia. In our last, most recent decade of the teens, after the storms of 04 and 05, several of which impacted our region, Council completed a regional economic and disaster resiliency study, which evaluated the impact on damage to structures, the amount of time it would take for the economy to recover, and the resources needed to achieve that recovery. Also, working with our other councils across the state, first time adopted a statewide evacuation study. Before that, each of us did separate individual regional evacuation studies. That study has been recognized nationally with several awards and is recognized as the best practice and approach to evacuation across the nation. Also, then working with our other councils around the state, we updated our comprehensive economic development strategies in the early 2000s. Did that also on a coordinated basis, working together using the same econometric model and data sets, and working with the Florida Chamber Foundation, adopting their six pillars principles for securing Florida's future economy. Then most recently, our two most recent initiatives are with the opening of the new Sable Trail, our natural gas transmission pipeline through our region. Been working with the U.S. Department of Transportation and the regional hazardous material response team, the first responders in the region, providing training for possible incidents that could occur at the compressor stations or along those transmission lines. And the most recent initiative was just started last fall in response to an ongoing problem going on for over a decade, where the city of Valdosta up in Georgia has been periodically releasing raw sewage into the Withlacoochee River, which flows into the Suwannee River and through the heart of our region. They are under consent order with the state of Georgia. They've made significant capital investments in building a new plant, and they did other improvements to their system. However, the problem persists, and there were four additional spills just last year, the most recent one being in December. So as a result of that, the council appointed the Middle and Lower Suwannee River and Withlacoochee River Task Force, made up of the county commissioner from each of our counties. Commissioner Demps also serves on that task force. They met for the past several months, adopted a resolution expressing their concerns and requesting the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, the Georgia Division of Environmental Protection, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to provide additional oversight on this project. We met with the staff in the city of Valdosta. Our chair-elect task force, Commissioner Davis from Madison County, recently testified before the state legislature's Florida Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. And we met with the governor's staff and Secretary Valenstein, Department of Environmental Protection, to brief them on the situation. And most recently, just last week, the task force, including Commissioner Demps, traveled to the city of Valdosta to sit down in a workshop with the city council from the city of Valdosta to relay our concerns and hear from them. Progress they've been making some of the projects they have on the drawing board. And we had a very good meeting, and we think we're making good progress. There are several projects this year that would go a long way to addressing and hopefully resolving this problem once and for all. So, over the past 50 years, the council has had three executive directors, 39 chairs. One of those chairs was former County Commissioner Ed Sadler. And also, Commissioner Demps was the former chair of the council and represented the city of Perry as a city council. 396 elected officials and gubernatorial appointees have served on the council, including Commissioner Page, who's a former representative of the county. And it was nice to see former Commissioner Patterson here this morning. She was a former representative representing Carroll County and the council as well. So we're able to accomplish this with a dedicated staff of individuals. This is our senior management team. And then this next slide. The really important folks, these the administrative support staff, the project managers and planners really make all this happen on a daily basis. So Madam Chair, in summary, we're very pleased and excited to be celebrating our 50th anniversary. You see, over the past 50 years, we've been engaged in a wide variety of activities working together in towns and cities across North Florida. We're part of a network of 10 councils across the state. Our board is 2/3 elected officials and 1/3 gubernatorial appointees. We are a planning, coordinating, facilitating, convening, advising organization. We're not a regulatory agency. We do not issue any permits. We cannot prohibit anyone from doing anything. We cannot make anyone do anything. We always like to say we have the power of persuasion and good ideas. And our programs and portfolio is very diversified, ranging from our regional activities to public safety, transportation, to economic development, and local government assistance. Madam Chair, that concludes my review of our duties and the projects and activities we've been engaged in for the past 50 years.
That's a lot of stuff. We really appreciate what your organization does. Commissioner
Gibbs,
would you like to say
something? Yes, ma'am. He said that we was over in the office last week when we were. We was well received over there. And those folks spent a lot of money, something better than $100 million, trying to keep the affluent out of the river. And when they were talking it, if we had to spend $100 million to clean up something in their account, you'd be in bad shape. Mm-hmm. But they're very fortunate, and we pledge our support to help them. And we will help them, and we want to help them. We went to Senator Mumford knows about it, and a representative from the state of Georgia, they know about it. So, with that being said, I think we're on the right track. I don't think the... Now, Taylor County, first, is not a part of that. You know, affluent getting in the river. But I think if anything goes underground and gets in our stream, I don't believe it goes to the Madison Line and stops. I don't believe they have a wall down there that says, this way it stops here. So I want to be a part of that to help make this town a success and keep our people safe. Okay? Now, he was talking about the three executive directors they had. I remember two. When I was serving them with the city, it was with Charlie Justice and Scott Coons there again. So Charlie Justice is retired, Scott Coons got 43 years, he's the next oldest cat in the box. So my hat's off to Scott for being there a long time. He's pretty thorough. So you'll see what he's done just a while ago, that's his presentation. And my hat's off to you, Scott. Mm-hmm. I wish he was in your office.
Thank you, Mr. Kind of Marks. I've lived with these projects. I'm very familiar.
Okay.
We certainly appreciate your dedication and your commitment, and the same for you, Commissioner Demps. We really appreciate what you do. Is there a motion to read this proclamation?
Motion to approve the proclamation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Moody, a second by Commissioner Page, and further discussion. If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop?
Proclamation declaring May 7th, 2019 as North Central Florida Regional Planning Council Day. Whereas the North Central Florida Regional Planning Council was formed as the fourth regional planning council in the state of Florida on May the 7th, 1969, and whereas the mission of the North Central Florida Regional Planning Council is to improve the quality of life of the region's citizens by enhancing public safety, protecting regional resources, promoting economic development, and providing technical services to local governments, and whereas the North Central Regional Planning Council, in partnership with economic development organizations and local government, promotes regional strategies, partnerships, and solutions to strengthen the economic competitiveness and quality of life of the 12 counties and 40 incorporated municipalities in the North Central Florida region. And whereas local governments throughout the North Central Florida region recognize the need for regional coordination to address community issues that extend beyond county and municipal boundaries. And whereas the North Central Regional Planning Council has engaged in strategic regional planning, comprehensive economic development, strategy planning, and emergency preparedness planning for the future of the North Central Florida region. And whereas for the past 50 years, the North Central Florida Regional Planning Council has brought together local governments and gubernatorial appointees to provide a venue for analyzing issues, resolving problems, and sharing solutions among 52 jurisdictions in Alachua, Bradford, Columbia, Dixie, Gilchrist, Hamilton, Lafayette, Levy, Madison, Suwanee, Taylor, and Union counties, and whereas Taylor County became a member local government of the North Central Florida Regional Planning Council on June the 1st, 1975. Now, therefore, the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida, proclaims May 7, 2019 as North Central Florida Regional Planning Council Day throughout Taylor County in recognition of the 50th anniversary of the North Central Regional Planning Council and its contributions in advancing the regional agenda. Duly adopted and proclaimed the 16th day of April, 2019.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adopt a proclamation declaring May 7th, 2019 as the North Central Florida Regional Planning Council Day?
Motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page.
Second.
A second by Commissioner Murphy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Again, thank you so much.
Madam Chair, members of the board, thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for your membership and support of the council, and thank you for helping us celebrate our 50th anniversary.
Good to see you. Thank you for all your work. You did a lot of help.
Thank you.
To me.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Next on the agenda are the consent items 7 through 15. Are there any questions about any of the consent items?
Motion to approve the consent.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Public request number 16, Ann Hodges, Gulf Breeze Realty, to appear to discuss a possible acquisition by the county of coastal property owned by Dr. Ken Hutchins.
Good morning. Good morning. Dr. Hutchins has asked us to speak to you today on his behalf to discuss the amenities of his property, which is one of those that's being considered for acquisition by the county. We believe that this property would be an excellent location to allow more public access to the Gulf. It's very convenient. It's located at Beach Road and Fish Creek Road, where basically as you're going towards Steamhatch, you just pass Dark Island. Of course, it has paper frontage, it's on Gulf Front. It has 25 acres, 14 of those are buildable customs. This property also has a structure which is currently his home with 3,200 square feet, which could provide great space for about 3 offices and a conference room if you needed that, with bathroom facilities already there. It has community water and sewer in place, plus a 2-inch well for irrigation purposes. And there's plenty of space on that on the property to allow for several things. I mean, if you want to put a boat ramp there, because there is an open boat ramp, so it would only take a short channel to get out to get the water for fishing. There's a creek that runs through the property on the south side, on the north side. That would be great for kayaks and canoes, so that can be a separate location from the boat ramp. You just need a small walkway to go across to what we call a launching deck to put the kayaks and canoes in the water. But that would be great for this area. A fishing pier, you know, we need a really good fishing pier. We have one over here, but if you have this one, it would be out for a lot of boats where I catch a lot of really fishing trout, you know, near shore, where there's not a lot of boat traffic already going by there. Be a great place for a kid's playground. It would be a great place for a tennis court. As a realtor, I get asked questions sometimes from people that are living in this area, do you have any tennis courts nearby? So that would be something different that could be placed on that property. Lots of space for picnic tables, plenty of parking space, and there's even room if you wanted to put a heliport there for emergency transportation purposes. I mean, you've got a lot of buildable space with 14 acres right on the water. And again, convenient because it's right on, you know, paved road frontage. We do currently have this property listed for sale at $1.8 million. Dr. Hutchins is willing to finance it for the county at 0% interest for 3 years with a 25% down payment. He is willing to enter into a contract with a negotiable binder and said the binder would be fully refundable within 3 months, but if it goes longer than 3 months, then he would like for it to be non-refundable. But again, the amount of that binder is negotiable. And then if the county does decide on that property, which I did purchase it, once it's closed, they would need like a 60-day time period to relocate, find other property, and to move. And that's what he wanted me to present to you guys, so that you have a good understanding of the property and where it's located. And if you have any other questions, I'll be glad to present them to him, and we can get back to you with answers.
Are there any questions from the board?
I got one. What is it actually on the tax roll today? What's the value of it on the tax?
The value of it on the tax roll?
Right.
Do you know that I haven't checked that in quite some time? So I can get back to you with that.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah. I would comment. It's a very beautiful piece of property.
It's gorgeous.
And you're probably aware that with possibly BP monies, that this is one of the two properties that we've asked for further study on.
Right.
So we rated it very high when we draw this property. As one commissioner, I don't know if we had the money that we could purchase it and anticipate getting repaid out of the property money. I don't think that's been answered yet. So, first things, I don't think we got $1.8 million. And the second thing is, if we purchase one property, then we've got a number of properties on that list. To treat everybody fairly, we don't have the money to purchase even one. If you did purchase one, what about the next one in line?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to sell theirs. So a lot of things you have to go through, but it is a very beautiful piece of property.
Yeah, I'm gonna understand that.
Anyone else?
No ma'am.
I think yes.
Dr. Winston Bennett and talked to us before about this. 1.8, you got 1.8 million dollars, you gotta lay it around somewhere, I don't know about it. Because there have been a lot of people up here leading stuff in Morton, and we told them we didn't have it, so.
Yeah, but again, the price is negotiable,
yeah.
So that's all
okay.
Good. Yeah. And of course, I'm sure that you would want to have it appraised, and if it doesn't appraise for that, then. But as far as the tax roll, they put up there for, gosh, I don't know how many years, but your taxes, as that being your homestead, hasn't increased that much probably,
mm-hmm.
So it's going to be less than the value anyway.
Do you want to say anything?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
We do have funding available, Restore Act funding available currently. We have $4.8 million available. However, I do believe that if we went out ahead of our milestones and ahead of a feasibility study and appraisals and permitting and all that, that our reimbursement may be at risk. We are required, so as an example, if we purchased the property and it did not appraise out at the value that we purchased it for, that reimbursement would be at risk. I don't think there's been enough experience with these types of projects to be able to model after another county who has purchased ahead of time. This is new to us, so I would be concerned about getting ahead of the process. I don't deny that it's a beautiful piece of property, and it is, we would love to have it. I don't know how to research that exactly, as far as what any other counties have accomplished.
As you can well see, we're in no position to make any kind of a determination right now. There's lots of questions and a lot of things that are out there that we're unsure of right now. But I do want to thank you for coming and making a nice presentation, and I appreciate Dr. Hutchison offering his beautiful property. I confirm with the other commissioners it's a nice, it is very nice. But at this time, we're just not able to make a commitment.
Right, and nobody was expecting the contract today. Yes, we just wanted you to understand our priorities and hopefully that it will stay up at the top of this for you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Item 17, Ursula Miller to appear to discuss four-way stop sign request for 11th Street East and 2nd Avenue in Steenhatchee.
Good morning. I'm Ursula Miller, Cedar Island. This is Mr. Steve Hart. He's a resident and his wife is in the audience from Steenhatchee. They've asked me to help them walk them through and the residents through the process of how to ask y'all for a four-way stop at this intersection. It's a danger to the community, to the residents, both senior and youth, and the golf cart. And I will let Mr. Hart give you his 2 cents worth.
Yeah, and tell us, is your home at this?
I live at the intersection, so I observe this intersection constantly. And what happens is 2nd Avenue Southeast has become the bypass for 1st Avenue. And it's a real problem now that we're a golf cart community because it's the main thoroughfare for golf court carts in Steenhatchee to go to Fiddler's, to go to River Haven, to go to Caddy's Craft. And you also designated it the walking trail and you put up your nice little walking signs there, but it's the most dangerous road to walk on in town. So what people do is they leave River Road with their boats and everything and they head over to 1st Avenue, but they do not see the stop signs and they just go straight through. There's been several bad wrecks at this intersection. So my recommendation is we need a four-way stop, that way at least you got a 50-50 chance you're not going to get hit. And along Ashley, you'd be better off to do it at not just at 11th, you'd be good to have it at 11th and 13th and break it and slow the speed down for the people on the golf carts and move maybe some of the traffic back out to 1st Avenue. Because there's going to be a serious accident with a golf cart and somebody's going to get killed. It's just a matter of time. I sit on my porch and watch people, boats and trailers, they never even slow down. And go straight through it.
I sure understand that. We have a lot of that in this county. Kenneth, have you by any chance looked at this and can you come up and talk to us about it perhaps?
Yes, ma'am. We went through the Signal4 analytics database yesterday when we became aware of this being a request. And I looked back at this intersection for the last 5 years and there are 3 reported accidents at that location, all 3 of which are from individuals traveling north-south on 11th, and 2 of those ran through the stop sign. One of those actually stopped at the stop sign and then pulled out in front of another one. Actually, all along 2nd, there were probably another 5 to 6 accidents that have occurred during that same 5-year time frame. The majority of those, actually I think all of those were from ran stop signs incidents, not people, you know, going exceeding or going excessively fast, and then, you know, it's actually from the traffic control being there and people not adhering to it. One suggestion that we, Hank and I discussed yesterday would be at least a first step measure before we go to the four-way stop would be to some of the latest application is you put a prismatic strip on the column of the stop sign themselves. All of these stop bars in this location could be repainted so that they're much more visible because, you know, your first inclination is, well, these things are happening at night. That's when they're having these altercations. That's not the case. You know, there was a couple of them that were midday. And I was just trying to remember the speeds because we just did a traffic count within the last month or two down there and captured the speed zone because, like you said, there's a longer stretch. We were looking at 10th because we had received a question about that one. And we looked at the speed on 2nd coming from the eastbound direction because that's the longest unstop controlled direction, because once you hit 10th, you've got stop control and then there. And I think there was another accident or something right around 9th. But right now, as a first measure, I would suggest that we at least improve the visibility of the stop control at that intersection. And then if that doesn't prove to be successful, obviously, then you could go to the next step.
If you want to come up, could you, you've been down there and looked at this too?
I have just had a look at the sign, but I'll try to get down there and see if I can look it up.
Right, well, you know, I totally understand what you're going through. I live on a road that is a cut-through road, and we did have stop signs put in, and I live right there at the stop sign, and every day I see cars that I think they speed up when they see the stop sign, and there's no way that we pull out without really looking because we know what happens. I'm a little apprehensive. I want to help you though. And is there any between Kenneth and maybe, is there any way to direct some of this traffic in another direction that would alleviate some of this?
He's right. I mean, you have a slower speed on First Avenue because of your school zone and some of the congestion that's through there. So it's a natural conclusion that they're using Second as a bypass, so you're seeing, I think, larger traffic volumes that are going through there. You know, you obviously can go the regulatory route and try to reduce the speed limit through that section. I don't know that they're going to, if they're not paying attention to the stop sign, I don't know if they're going to pay attention.
The problem is we have out-of-town people, and when they leave River Road, and they look up through there, all they see is a school building, and they go right through it. The stop sign is visible. It's not blocked. It's right there and wide open. And what is going to happen, and I'm just giving you fair warning, they're going to hit a golf cart. And it's not going to be like the cars when they run into each other. Somebody's going to get hurt. And so I'm just really concerned for the safety of it, especially now that we're getting it, like Charlie was talking earlier, as busy as we are. And Charlie knows the street. And everybody that goes down through there, if you're local, when you get to an intersection, even if it's not a stop, you slow down. But the out-of-town people don't know that.
Exactly.
And I've got over 100 signatures here I got in the last few days. Okay. We'd love to have requests.
And this will become part of the public record. The clerk will keep these.
The last thing before you make a decision is, there is a warrant process for traffic control. And I want to say there's about 8 different warrants for a stop control at an intersection. You know, we can go through that process and see if it meets that criteria. If it does, there's no reason not to put it in. If it doesn't, then it's a little premature.
Okay. What do you think about the strips that he was talking about?
Unless you go with a sign that's 3 times the size you got or something, people will go right through.
We use conventional signage, which is a 30-inch for a stop sign. If, there again, with the warranting it, you can move to an oversized sign, which is a 36 or even a 48, if that's
how about
just
flashing the yellow line?
I'm done. It's not going to meet the warrants for that. You had 3, and I know you sit there and watch that, but there are only 3 recorded accidents over the last 5 years, and one of those was from actually somebody stopping and then pulling out. So it's not going to pass the criteria.
Well, it's a matter of timing. It's not the...
Yeah.
All it is timing. It's just going to be the 2 vehicles at the right time because it happens daily.
Right. And the problem is that they're not stopping for the stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to stop for the stop sign. I don't know how many stop signs you put in.
Yeah, but you've got a much better chance if you've got 4 stop signs rather than 2.
Second Avenue doesn't have stop signs.
No, there's not a single stop sign on Second Avenue except where you did do a 4-way stop at the Baptist Church on the other side of Keenan.
There's a stop sign on 2nd.
They did it 4 way.
There
is a 10. But if you go on down 2nd past that, where the Baptist Church is, you guys did do a 4-way stop there because of the church. And on right about 11th, you're coming up, you have the Community Center, the American Legion, River Haven Marina, all on that street. And so everybody turns off and they go up through there. And so it's a hazard.
Let me ask our attorney, do we have to do a public hearing before we can install 4-way stop signs like this?
We've generally done that so that the community would know what you're doing. You can do it, but I mean, like I said, generally we've advertised. For instance, we've done it when we changed names of roads, and we've done it when we've done speed changes, just so everybody would know what the board was thinking and what the board was doing.
I want to help y'all, if we can.
That's a good question. How many signatures do you have in your petition?
I started the petition last Wednesday, and I think I've got 110 signatures on that.
And you feel, you feel that it's necessary for the benefit of the community to get this signed?
I know it is.
Okay.
And you can survey anybody in town, and I don't think anybody would disagree.
Well, I've spoken with a few people about it, and they agree as well. We've got to do something.
And all I would say is that so that a process is consistent across our nation, because that's the way it is you have warrants that you consider before you just put in traffic measures anywhere. And I'm willing to go through the process to evaluate it, and I will present those results back to you and use that for your decision-making process.
Okay, I'm going to get to you, Commissioner.
I remember the road north of here, where this board decided to change the route of a road, and we went around, but our engineer didn't ask for his advice and his assistance. And we may be in litigation over this. Mm-hmm. The bishop's not a yes.
We are.
Right. I think I'm going to err on the side of caution and ask that we go through the process using Mr. Douglas' expertise, and he knows the criteria for putting in this, and let's get the process rolling. And whatever we can do, if it takes a four-way stop, and he makes that recommendation, I'm for it. If you want to cost your life, and that's the right thing to do, I support it.
The warrants have a hierarchy.
Yeah, right, it's a hierarchy.
Yes, sir.
That's my approach to it. Okay. And we got something to back up. Yes, so we didn't just go out and do something without using the expertise that we have in house.
Right, and I concur with that. Ms. Miller, I just wanted to add that prior to coming to the board or asking me to help them with this, they contacted the county road department about the signage down there. They did come down and look at it. They replaced the stop sign with a new shiny one to try and help that. And there's nothing else that they can do at that point because their hands are tied. They cannot say we're going to put a four-way stop. And that's the reason why we're here today.
Yeah, I tried it. They did come down. And I called them. They were there the next day.
Yes.
And they did work on the signage, but I still haven't, it hasn't changed.
Right. And have you talked with the sheriff's department?
Yes.
Okay. And have they put up the speeding wagon and have presence there at that intersection?
They have a presence one block away. They can see the flashing light on the deputy's car in the morning, but they still go through the stop sign.
I agree with Commissioner Page that I think that we should go through the process quickly.
Yes,
because this is urgent that if you think there's a lot of traffic down there now in just a short period of time, when scallop season opens, there'll be a lot. And so I feel your pain because I had the same situation at my home, and I do not know what the answer is, but let's give our expert staff member a chance to go through the process. How soon can you come back with a recommendation?
I know we just got the traffic coming back, so it'll take at least some time to get that, some of the cross traffic volume. I think I have recent second. I'll need 11th. So just I'll look at it. I'll look at it this week to see if I can go through as quickly as possible for us.
Do you think? Possibly, and if you can't, I know.
I won't promise you that it'll be the next. No, absolutely not.
Okay.
It'll be the workshop.
Okay.
Because we never collect anything less than a week's worth of data.
Okay. So he's gonna do diligence and do, you know, and in the meantime, call the sheriff. Call him.
Well, like I say, now you've got the people on the golf cart hauling 6 and 8 people, and like I say, all it's going to take is just bad timing, one time, and it's not going to be like 2 cars in.
No, we had a golf cart accident here not too many years ago. It was very fatal for us.
Right.
I understand the data, I understand what you're going through, and I think everyone here wants to help, but we're going to go through the process quickly as we can. And when it's going to be on the agenda, Ms. Kimberton, could you get his phone number and notify him and so that you all can come back? We'd like for you to be involved with the process.
Yes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
May I ask, Commissioner Murphy, is this plan that you're commissioner for that district?
Yes, sir.
Is what we're talking about here, meet your concerns?
with the amount of signatures on a petition, tell me what I need to do. I'm all for putting four stop signs on that intersection, but we need to have professional advice in that manner. I'm all for getting stop signs on that. The signatures tell me what I need to do.
Okay.
Plain and simple. But I need to hear from Dudley what we exactly need to impose into this.
I want to support you.
Okay.
Well, what you want to do down there, when Mr. Dudley does, after he made his report.
Absolutely.
We'll make sure we're...
Well, everything is fluid in that manner.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I do have something to say about that. We sometimes when we have four-way stop signs or I guess four-way intersections, well, neither one of them stops. One of them says yellow, proceed with caution. The other one on the other side says red, stop. And if that is not something there to really drive that, can be a problem. Now, I do know a neighboring county about that was a fatality this weekend. Two people, one expired, or maybe the other one was going to expire. For the same situation out there on 19 and 27 on Tallahassee. So, and involved the local person. So when we hear talking like this, we need to get on the beat and do something about it before something do happen like he did. And that 100 people sign a petition tells me we need to move. With the experience we have as the engineer and our attorney, you know, what after it happened, we can't say we didn't know about it.
Right.
Or we wasn't born. So I think we headed in the right direction.
Yeah. I think the board, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
And
we're all agreeing with
you. Commissioner Murphy, we're all going to work together and support you and support your district and of course we want our engineer to do his job. And like I said, we want to move as quickly as we can. We sure don't want anything to happen while we're, if we can help it. So,
Madam Chair, we need a motion. The President has a motion in the second on the plan.
Yes, if you want to make a motion.
I'll make a motion between ask the county engineer to proceed for doing his due diligence on the stop sign issue.
I'll second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any further comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We're going to move to item number 18. Ursula Miller to appear to discuss generator usage ordinance request. Yes, ma'am.
I've lived at Cedar Island a little over 4 years, and it's not constant, but it's an issue with generators running there and other portions of the county or our district. I'm asking that the county look at the Perry ordinance within the city where you cannot run a generator unless it's during an emergency outage. What is happening at Cedar, it's either overflow of campers and they bring a generator down and run it in a residential neighborhood, or they buy a lot and then turn around and run the generator for weeks at a time with their campers hooked up to it while they're waiting on public service utilities. You have any comment on it?
I do. I understand what you're saying. But to me, that's just another step in of an intrusion that it targets the residential areas. But you know, it could be applied anywhere. What about if somebody wanted to go to Hickory Mound for the day and run a generator? Or what if they're in the woods? Or what if they're somewhere else? It, to me, it takes away some of the rights of people. I just can't.
I'm saying residentially zoned properties, not a hunt club that's out away from a residential area. Cedar Island is residentially zoned.
But sometimes, like you say, when they're waiting on a contract, sometimes a contractor will use a generator until he can get power. Are we going to hold up business? I just can't. For me, I can't see government stepping in and saying, we're going to pass an ordinance so you can't use your generator except for an emergency. Then you get into the point, well, what is an emergency? You have to define then what that is. And I see, that's just my opinion.
But if I were going to buy a piece of property and build a house, I would have to go to the building department and get a permit and pay for it and have a temporary power pole put in there before I can start construction on the home. It's the same difference. They're getting their lot ready to put a camper on.
Is it the noise that bothers you? What is the real problem?
It's the noise. It's non-stop.
So if it's a noise problem...
We already just covered in the fire tax. The noise deal is...
Yes, and the only repercussion and the only thing that you can do as a resident down there is after 10 p.m. you can call the sheriff's office and have them come and tell them to turn it off. Well, the sheriff's got more things to do than come down there and... tell somebody to turn the noise down.
Mm-hmm. And you know, again, the noise, you've got not only would you have a generator, you've got people that have loud vehicles, you have four wheelers, you have music, you have...
this is non-stop, though.
Mm-hmm. Any comments from the rest of the board?
I feel the same way you do, Pam. If somebody buys a lot down there, and they want to bring a camper down there, they pay a taxes on that lot, and they want to set up a camper and a generator, I don't want to leave you with it. Because that's their right, and I don't want to take their right at all away from them. Even though they just got a camper, that's fine, that's there, you know. And if they can't afford to get the power hooked up no time soon, I don't want to put it.
But the ordinance say that you have to have utilities hooked up.
Do what?
I believe that the ordinance say that you have to have public utilities hooked up before you can use the land. Am I incorrect or what?
I don't know that if you have an ordinance to that effect, I'd have to check on that, man. I don't know that if that's okay. The case.
I've seen people do it all my life down there on the beach and on the river. They go down there and put a camper and bring a generator. A lot of motor homes now have got a generator on the back of them. They run when they're sitting there with their motor homes. I mean, I don't want to go there with that myself. I think people, they need their freedom to do what they can do, too. Now, if there's an ordinance that says, they can't run a generator in a certain area one time, but there's no ordinance that I know of. I've never heard of that. You know.
What does the city of Perry's ordinance say? How are they?
I don't know it verbatim, but it is that you cannot run a generator within the city limits unless it's a bona fide emergency, a hurricane, or whatever, where the power's out.
So, homeowner power's out for some reason, not hurricane, you can't crank up the generator and run his skill saw to cut it over the seal. I don't want to get that strictly good.
No, and that's not what I'm talking about. I can understand what you're saying. I'm saying long term. This goes on for days.
I've got mixed feelings. I was a neighbor next door, and an RV moved when he met the setback requirements, 10 feet. And he cranked up his generator, and I couldn't sleep at night. Just how loud the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the ones that I'm familiar with, they're not really all that obnoxious and loud, you know. Pretty good, they have a little buffer on them. But
these must have been older ones, the older models,
it's
like a Mack truck.
It's pretty near where your place is.
Yes, sir.
I know about where they're at.
Sarah Vincent can also testify to this, but she couldn't get off her computer.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had a neighbor one time that had a hound dog that barked all night, kept me awake too, but that's just...
They run
airboats
all night long.
That's right, there's airboats.
But it's not sitting right there running.
But I also have neighbors that come in as well once a weekend, and they run their generators all weekend, and I deal with it. But at the same time, if it bothers you that bad, call the sheriff, call a complaint. At this current time, that's the only thing I can see that's going to help you. When I first moved up here, I ran a generator for 2 months before I had anything done. And it's just according to schedule to build our home.
But
so I understand what you're saying. You
know, they have a right to enjoyment of their property, yes, the same as I do.
Absolutely.
And I have peaceful, quiet enjoyment. I'm entitled to that.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. So if it crosses that threshold and it causes you any kind of irritants, call the sheriff, file the complaint. And you have numbers in your book.
Mr. Dent?
Thank you.
I want two generators to set that.
We do too, and I love the sound of a generator after the storm because I know my neighbors are coming back in.
Right.
And they are safe and they're back there to rebuild.
Okay, I don't have a problem with what you have a problem with. But I live in the city and I live right on the intersection. I hear something all night long.
Right.
And I mean, I hear it, you know. So, but I've learned to live with it. I don't know what you're going to have to do. But it's like you said, now when they cross the threshold after 10 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. still got a problem, call it here.
They might be wet them up or they can't put on. And you can discuss that with your neighbors, and they might very well do that. So they do make upwards that'll make it a lot different than what you're hearing, I'm sure.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm already here. I'm on here since
then. Constitutional officers, other governmental units. Item number 19, the board to consider approval of 2010 tax year errors and insolvencies as agenda by Mark Wiggins, tax collector. Mark's not here, but this was in our packet. Does anybody have any comments about this item?
And all I can say is that they discovered these errors on previous tax roll, and y'all have to prove them usually in July of every year. And these are from the 2010 tax roll.
Okay.
They're the double set the one.
Is there a motion to approve?
I move to second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dempse. Any further comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 20, Stephen Browning, PE, Florida Department of Transportation and DOT, to appear to discuss State Road 51 reconfiguration in Senhance. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I truly appreciate the opportunity to present to you today. It's always a pleasure to be here today, and we enjoy working with you, so thank you.
Nice to see you too.
So why am I here today? I kind of want to walk through some opportunities that we see to kind of reconfigure the intersections of State Route 51, Park Avenue, and First. Then we'll kind of walk you through this presentation, how we got here, what we see as some improvements that we can make in the area, and also how to accomplish these. And again, the problem, kind of what we can do to solve it, and how to solve it. So what are we looking at? We're looking at the area, again, specifically of First Avenue, Park Avenue, and State Road 51, in the area of Seahad Marina. Kind of walk you through how we got here. In 2018, our traffic operations office did a study that kind of looked at this area and really concluded State Road 51 between First and Park did not function as a state highway. Yeah, no, I had the same look. What does that mean, right? Yeah. Well, the recommendation went on to say maybe we could reroute traffic along Park and that type of stuff. There's a lot of pedestrians in this area, which I'll cover in a minute. A lot of vehicles parking along the roadways, and you have forklifts working in and out of Seahag. So we saw this as an opportunity to maybe partner with you guys. We have a stop project coming in 2020 to look at resurfacing First Avenue between State Road 51 and 51. So maybe this was a great opportunity to work together to partner, to have a great solution for the area. I mean, like we heard earlier, traffic is, I mean, it's getting worse out here. There's more vehicles. It's longer, more than just scallop season now. I mean, this is a lot of fishing tournaments, a lot of stuff going on. So, which is good. I mean, it's vital to the community and, you know, the economy and all that good stuff. So it's a good improvement. But to kind of walk you through the study, I mean, one thing we kind of did, we collected some traffic data. Of course, we collected it August 3rd through the 5th. So it wasn't the peak of scallop season. It was towards the end, but it was during scallop season. I will admit that. So it may be skewed just slightly, but it was a July 4th weekend, and it wasn't the opening weekend of scallop season back in June. So August 3rd through the 5th is when we collected the data. And what we found with the primary movement was kind of First Avenue to continue along County Road 361. Basically, the boat ramp along First Street. I mean, that's what we heard from other comments today. There's a lot of traffic in this area. First is kind of your primary route, kind of in and out. So we saw that as an opportunity to make further improvements in this area. Again, we look at the pedestrians. I mean, what we found, we have about 1,100 to 1,200 pedestrians crossing daily in the area in front of Seahag. I mean, It's a lot of people. Definitely, kind of like the golf cart thing. I mean, this is an area that could be a potential problem. Unfortunately, from what I've gathered, we have not had a problem out here today, but the conflict's there. The issue could arise in the future, so there's an opportunity, I think, to make improvements. Again, just kind of digesting the information, that's what we kind of saw. So we thought it was an opportunity to maybe make additional improvements. Again, with the Scott project, you know, it's now the time to partner with you guys and provide the best overall solution, or the way we see it, and make the improvements now while we have a kind of a contract in place, another mechanism, and kind of get a reduced savings there by utilizing, kind of piggybacking on this job. So, again, going back to the configuration of First Avenue, County Road 361 and 51, I mean, currently First Avenue is a stop today. We'd like to maybe reconfigure that intersection, as you see, kind of smooth out this curve and have this as the primary movement. Because currently, they come up First and stop. People have to make a right, or they have to come down 361 from the boat ramp and make a left. I mean, if that's your primary movement, why not go ahead and kind of reconfigure everything that way? We saw that as an opportunity. And then look at the pedestrian traffic in front of CHAG, the 1,100, 1,200 pedestrians. How do we discourage kind of traffic almost to avoid this area, to reduce that conflict? And the simple solution, it seemed obvious, could we route traffic just around Park Avenue away from not only CHAG, but away from this intersection with the curbs and everything, limited side distance. I'm in on a tangent, so there is side distance. It'd be a little easier to turn. You've got a lot of slower moving vehicles out here with boat trailers and that type of stuff. Having them turn at the curb and all this stuff is not the most desirable situation. So, again, how can we further kind of route traffic away from here up Park Avenue? We still saw the need if you did even force traffic up Park Avenue. I mean, this is the shortest route. People are going to take the shortest route. So we probably need to discourage traffic from utilizing existing, say, Route 51, at least kind of westbound and northbound. Maybe make that a one-way road, just southbound only. Basically, provide access to CHAG. I mean, if you're going there, pedestrians only have to look one way. Traffic's only coming in one way. So it would provide, reduce the conflicts and provide a much safer opportunity for pedestrians.
You're talking about one way, would you park heavy?
No, I'm sorry.
3%.
51 would be one way.
Yes, sir.
Just 51 in front of CHAG would be one way.
And the direction would be this direction.
Correct. Yes, sir.
And then if you're coming this way, you go to the park.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, Park Avenue, you would turn and go on it, but now, is it one way?
Park Avenue would remain two way.
Okay, but just when you got to the end, you could not turn right.
Correct.
Okay.
Definitely.
I'm
with you. Okay. And I tried to provide you a concept, because this is kind of tough to digest on the screens and everything.
Okay.
So we have kind of two options. I mean, one's on the front, one's on the back. There's not, actually, I have two concepts here. There's not a whole lot of difference between concept A and concept B. It's just the design scheme of the curve. But how you would treat the intersection of Park Avenue, existing 51, kind of in front of CHAG. I mean, there's two opportunities. I mean, I hate to even bring up option C. Relaxing here. Just stop signs everywhere. Just install stop signs everywhere, which is just...
Not there.
Not there.
It worked great on my road.
Concept A and B would have a smooth curve in there and route traffic smoothly around Park Avenue. But as we've heard today, there's a lot of tourists, a lot of people out of town that probably wouldn't be used to this. So there is kind of some safety concerns potentially to realign this curve. So maybe another approach would be just to have the stop signs at the intersections. I mean, we haven't made a decision one way or the other, but A or C, I mean, B or C, I mean, A and B is the design speed, what you can actually fit, what radius you can fit on that curve. So it really comes down to do we prefer the stop signs or the radius just to smoothly turn traffic. But the stop signs would calm traffic, it would slow people down. I mean, we heard that earlier. So the overall concept, A or B, I mean, they're basically the same minus that. We would provide turn lanes at Park Avenue. I mean, Park Avenue would remain a two-lane road.
route traffic through here. We would have a dedicated left turn lane for traffic wanting to make that northbound or westbound movement. We'd have a right turn lane for that traffic wanting to make an eastbound to a southbound movement, and also a turn lane for traffic that wanted to access existing State Road 51. Again, this would be a main road, kind of that southbound, eastbound direction only.
You know, Skin Hatchie does not have any traffic lights, right?
That's correct.
Okay, never mind. I'm like shaking their hands.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, before, believe that. I understand that you said you got a stop sign here.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all, is it the same people that's running that light, running the stop signs where there's different people?
No.
Well, there's 1,300 folks, about 1,300 folks a day moving across there from Seahawks. They're not running right that way. What's that man?
Well, part of it is it's just the influx of people in town, and when they get out all their golf carts and they start traveling around town. Charlie has a whole different situation because he has all the pedestrian traffic with the hotel on both sides of the road and people just walking across there. It's dangerous there, especially during the summer.
I'm surprised someone hasn't already been met out of there because they don't stop. You're going into the marina, you're going back across the street, and you've got traffic coming. They don't stop and look. I mean, I've had people walk out in front of me there. So the one way would prevent, at least, you know, one direction, and that curb coming from the boat ramp, when you want to go left on the curb, that's very dangerous there because you have people coming up and you have to be quick to make that turn or, you know, you can get hit easily.
If you can turn first and then make that gradual curb there, yeah, we're talking about when you come back out. That makes good sense to me. It's just then you're going to run into the bottleneck at the boat ramp and where the new construction is going to be down there. So
yeah.
That's just mine, but Charlie's got, I know Charlie has a ton of traffic around there.
Do you have more slides to show us?
Just a couple more.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go through your presentation. And then I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to come to the podium and say what they need to say.
Okay.
So go ahead.
And you're right, it does back up from the boat ramp. I mean, we see that. I mean, tying in here again, I mean, you reduce that storage, that area. I mean, tying in a little further, I get it, it's not a whole lot further, but it would kind of push the traffic even further away from the boat ramp, even though it's just, you know, a few hundred feet. Sorry. So how do we accomplish this if we want to do this? We see this as an opportunity to maybe transfer to DOT Park Avenue, basically a tenth of a mile of roadway, and make that State Road 51. State Road 51 would come in and either turn or you have the stop signs and continue down Park Avenue. I mean, ideally, DOT, Mr. Dudley about this, would love to end State Road 51 here, but we realize that's probably not practical. Just dump everything on the county. Mm-hmm. So we could continue 51 up to the intersection of Park and First. And in doing so, we would transfer basically 0.2 miles. We get it now, but it's one lane road, so it's almost equal, it's almost a wash. You get two lanes, you get one. So we convert this to the county and transfer this to the county. So existing 51 between Park and First would actually be County Road 361.
You can have both of them. We don't want to be greedy.
Right. We don't either, so we'd love to give you both.
You sure? I mean, seriously.
It's a struggle to even get part, but yeah.
Moving forward, I mean, there are a lot of advantages, reconfiguration of First and 51, moving that movement, reverse curves through there, having that smooth transition, I think it would be an overall benefit. The additional turn lanes at Park Avenue, 51 and First, again, a benefit, I think, to this area with the traffic growing. And then moving traffic away from kind of the front of the sea area, I think that's truly an advantage. At some point, we are going to have issues out there with someone getting ran over or something like that, because it is a very congested area, a lot going on. So I think it makes sense logically. I mean, it's going to be a lot safer making these improvements. Kind of moving forward, what do we want to do next? This is kind of my closing slide. What do we want to do next? We'd really like an endorsement from the commission before we move forward, either a resolution or just a, you know, a vote to kind of move forward with either concept A or C with the curb at Park Avenue or the stop signs, or present both. If you do have your endorsement, we'd like to hold a public meeting May 14th at the Senior Community Center from 4 to 6 p.m. and then move forward with the roadway transfer to accomplish this. And then DOT would provide the additional funding for the improvements. So that's really all I have. Any questions, comments?
I have a question. So can you come up with a little business to educate you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are some private residences.
That's all. There's one private residence here. That's the rest is owned by Mr. Norwood.
Where's Tom Curry?
Well,
I'm over here as Roy Griffin. I got a vote to trade on how to come make it to the beach. If the vote went, I would have to go here. And then,
to go to see him?
I'm good.
No, you just turned here.
I thought you just said this is going to come one way.
Right, one way. This way.
One way, this way, on.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
The second part of it.
Okay. And this is Main Street?
Yes, right.
So all these people are here to get to the Brooklyn.
Right. But you're on
51. You're on 51. You got to go right to the Brooklyn. You got to go down here. You got to go across here and then turn left.
Yes, sir.
Where are Charlie and the folks in the next one? I'm all for it.
That is where the community
is before. 2011, we reduced it, just don't stay out of the system.
But I think it's to the board's advantage to know what the money has cost is when you have a lot of river money. There's a lot of erosion and storms and whatever. So the board's taking over all that maintenance for that, that section of road versus if you have that issue.
Well, now this is not really, this is the river.
Yeah, but from the river by drawings.
Well, we might be taking over twice as many feet of road, probably.
Right, it's about 2/10 of a mile compared to 1/10 of a mile.
This road is pretty sick.
We resurface it all, or we work with you, partner with you to resurface it all with that First Avenue project, so it'd all be brand new asphalt.
Right. We're going to study and negotiate with you. For me. Okay. Okay. And then, okay.
At this time, I think I'd like to hear more from the public and Charlie Norwood. Since this is right where your place of business is, why don't you come and talk to us? Give us your thoughts.
Do you want to hear from me or do you want to hear from you?
I want to hear from you.
First of all, thank you for letting me approach the board. I'm Charlie Norwood from Seahag Ranch in Apache, Florida. And first I want to say thanks to Stephen Brown, and I want to say thanks to Kenneth Dutton. Stephen got actively involved last year, but I've been pursuing this for more than 4 years. Similar to the Hearts and the way they're pursuing theirs. Mine's just been a little more aggressive. I haven't approached the board because it wasn't a county vote. So it was strictly a state issue. And first couple of years it was come down, take a look, and that's all I really got. I didn't really know how to proceed. So last year, I just started calling every month because the scout season was getting more and more dangerous. It was just very, very dangerous. And the year before last, I hired Taylor County every single weekend to put a marked police car and a uniform officer at the marina to stop, slow the traffic down. And that was an enormous burden for us, but it was absolutely necessary. Last year, I contracted out to do the same thing. However, they could not fulfill the contract because the boat ramp required more hours and patrol than they did the years past, and Wayne did not have the staff to do it. I got what I could, but I wasn't able to get it near what we needed. We bought traffic cones, signs, we did what we could. DOT kind of turned a blind eye on the cones and the traffic that we did, and they were very cooperative. But they did a study. They put cameras on every pole during our business. And we like to think that we're an asset to the community. We bring a lot of business, we employ a lot of people. We try to we try our best to be a good steward. Every month we're trying to make things a little better for the face of Steinhatchee and how we advertise for Steinhatchee. But safety is above this. There's no personal gain for anyone involved in this. This is safety. We have been fortunate that nobody has been run over. We have had many traffic accidents at the marina, but thank God they're back out, bump into, scratch. The only injury has been to my dog. She's been run over twice, broken leg, but she's still alive, 11-year-old lab. But she's the only one that's been run over. We're there every single day. Our employees are there every single day. And we do our best to keep the right-of-way as clear as possible. We have a forklift designed just to manage traffic. And what it does is we have a special attachment that goes into the re-stitch, slide it in, flip the ball over, we pick it up with a forklift, and we drive it down the street, park it the next block. Most of them are so excited to get to their boat, they pull up and they leave the back of the truck hanging over the white line. So we have ways to deal with that so that we don't burden the sheriff's department, have to come down and move them. But the safety's not from our customers. They're creating safety problems by being there, number one, with their vehicles, with their kids, but it's the safety is it's the through traffic from the east to the west. It's on their cell phone. They're not paying attention. They're speeding. They're not being courteous and observant. We've got a motel on both sides of the street. We currently have 160 beds, over 200 pillows. We have a pool. We have a tiki bar on one side of the road. Pool's on the other side of the road. So not all the children are supervised properly. We have pictures of a three-year-old that went missing. She was found in the middle of the road by one of my employees during the height of scout season, sitting down on the double yellow line. My daughter managed her until we found her parents. Her parents were at the pool. So how that happened, it's a parent's responsibility. But traffic is... Traffic, the speed of traffic in our community right now is too high. Y'all can't manage it. And it's very unsafe. When DOT did their study, they came back to me and said, we have a much more serious problem than we knew about. And from right at that point, their involvement in it was paramount. I mean, it was just every week they were doing something to try to figure out. They asked me to, I had counsel, I said no, so I hired an engineer to help me. And they immediately went back and forth with Mr. Browning and DOT, and there was all types of scenarios that were brought up, and they ended up with this one. And I believe that we've been fortunate to expand our business every year, but we've created this problem. See how it has. And I accept full responsibility from it. I never thought our business would grow like it has. And we have 24 rental boats during scout season. It's carried 8 to 10 people on each boat. That's over 250 people. We have over 200 people at the motel. we handle some 100 boats. That's enormous amount of traffic. And these people are just excited to get to their facility. And when they're, the traffic study shows the golf carts crossing the road, whether they're my golf carts or whether the community golf carts, traffic backing out on the 51 backwards. Dogs crossing the road, cats crossing the road. People parking in the middle of the road to go into the marina, or on Catamount Road, they just leave it. People get out of their cars, leaving it running, and go in rental boats, and then the guy's got to deal with that. So it's a creation of prosperity. People love the community. Your great effort in producing our boat ramp has created some of this. We have a fantastic asset, access to the water. The boat ramp is awesome. The access to the boat ramp is awesome. To bring more people to Schenectady to get on that boat ramp to get out. We've tried, or DOT has tried putting down traffic strips from eastbound and westbound. Basically what that has is caused, it's been good. It's caused people to look up off their phone, you know, what the heck did I hit? Because we watch them. But they don't slow down. One set of traffic strips really annoyed one of our neighbors to the east, and we had to scrape up the traffic strips. And I heard them at nighttime, they were aggravating. But I did it, I was for it from a safety standpoint. So they were, we took them up there. But the only thing that has, here recently, DOT has been on our property for 6 weeks now, replacing 3 stormwater drains. And we're very excited about them working on those drains to get the water from one side of the road to the other. That was brought on by a drain that was rusted and the forklift out there. Got stuck. They immediately put plates down, they immediately came up with a plan of action to help us fix it. In the process of fixing it, they've had to close the road for through traffic. They're letting my customers get to and from it. It has presented an enormous financial impact on Marina because I don't get that daily traffic going to the boat ramp. But on the other hand, it's caused us to see how incredibly safe things are at the marina the last 6 weeks. Oh my gosh. You can stand near the road, you can cross the road on foot, you can walk your dog, you can carry your kids. The traffic cannot go more than 5 miles an hour past the marina right now. It's down to one lane and it's congested. But it's the only thing that has made things safe. And I'm a little like the hearts are in the standpoint that I'm ridiculously concerned of someone, I'm more so for a youngster, but I'm ridiculously concerned for someone getting hurt and me not doing everything I can possibly prevent. I understand the process it has to take on both sides, county and DOT. I'm willing to do whatever I have to do on my end for you guys. If I have to change the way I'm doing some of my business, but I've got to make it safer. It is 1,300 people in August, that's not even a third of what it is in July.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think of their proposal here? It seems like there's two main proposals.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'd like to know, what do you think about those? I'm sure you've had time to study them too.
Yes, ma'am. I mostly like everything about it. I think it's 95%. The absolute best scenario for the safety of the people and me continuing to be able to operate for traffic. I am completely opposed to A and B.
You're what now?
Plan A and B, which is the stop signs. My neighbors on 51 and my neighbors on Park Avenue are very much opposed to having a, just letting traffic just fly through there. They really would prefer to have a stop sign. Or 51 comes to Park, stop, and then proceed up Park. Currently, Park is a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit. If you all remember, some years ago, I came to you to ask that you reduce it from 25 to 15, and you so most graciously did. And that helped tremendously. It doesn't stop everybody, but it did help everything on the west, east side of Park Avenue is rental property, except for what I own on First Avenue side. So there's people that are on Park Avenue that are vacationers as well. So making a 25 to 30 mile an hour road, I think we just shift the problem to that road. We don't fix it. But certainly putting a stop sign is one of their options. I think it's the best possible scenario. The one way, coming from west to east, is not as best for our business as from east to west, but I think it's much safer from west to east. So I was convinced that west to east is the safest way to route the road. I really like the reconfiguration of First Avenue because now so many people run that stop sign. Yeah. Oh my gosh, they don't even stop. And there's all types of trees and vegetation on the northbound of that First Avenue and 51 intersection. There's close calls there every weekend. So that's a really good idea, in my opinion. Now, we use Highway 51, not conventionally as it was designed to use. We back out in front of our place from First Avenue to Park Avenue. All of my customers, we own all the property on both on all the way, but my customers back out onto the road. They park right alongside the road. They cross the road in all the different directions. So I have some concerns about how we slow them down, possibly speed bumps, and I know that the county doesn't like to accept hasn't wanted to accept 51 in the past because of its liability, close proximity to the water, if I'm correct. And as I understand it, DOT cannot make these changes within their guidelines. Is that?
Yeah, we just can't force it on the county.
They can't force it on the county, but they also can't slow it down any slower than it is. They can't put the speed bumps in, they can't put as many crosswalks as we would like to have in it. So then the problem becomes, will the county accept it? And accept the liability and accept the maintenance of that road? And I don't know if you will or not. In the process of Donnie Ellington, who's our engineer, helping us with this, communicating with DOT and communicating with the county engineer, Mr. Kenneth Dudley, is one scenario came up: if the county won't accept it, what are our options? And one, leave it like it is, but it doesn't fix anything. Or number two, DOT looked at, if the county won't take it, can they vacate the right-of-way? And they can't vacate the right-of-way without going through the county. And
there's a one landowner on this road that's on the west side of the Kareem's. They're located from First Avenue to our property on the water. They're a family that's owned it for many, many, many years. And they share the same problem I do. So there's other than that, I'm the landowner on the rest of it. Mm. And they're very, they don't want to, so one scenario was that the county, the state could vacate the right-of-way, the county could accept the right-of-way, and if they didn't want to own it and maintain it, then they could I don't know the right word is, but they could close the road like we've done other roads, and then the landowners, the Fareen and us, could accept it. And then we could slow it down, use the same road, not change the road at all. Just slow the road down to 5 miles an hour and put speed bumps all over it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'm willing to accept. I know I have a tax burden on that, all that property to the county, but the Fareens are not willing to accept it.
Who?
The Fareens.
That's the owner of that. Those
yes, they're not willing to accept it because they don't want the cost of the maintenance, the cost of potential hurricane damage to the road. So in working through that, we ask everybody involved what can be done and what would the Greens agree to. And they agreed to, if the county didn't accept it, didn't want to keep it, and they did vacate it, we could accept it and give the Greens an easement. And that was something they were very interested in, was giving them an easement in and out of their property with the one-way traffic. And I actually had, because this has been working on so long, and we've been really excited to have a lot of input lately, I hired Dale Rawl to look at it and draft up the easement and kind of let the Koreans look at it and make sure that there weren't any obstacles, and they did look at it, and they liked that idea as a backup plan. So we have two ways to go about this that fixes it in front of our place. Fixes, I believe, all the concerns on my end. First Avenue and Park Avenue, it works for me, but it has to work for you all.
Okay. Is that all?
My last thing would be that I know there's a process that whichever plan you would like to go down takes time. And I want to give the due diligence, and I understand the due diligence to both sides, all three sides. But I'm not confident that the Sheriff's Department will be there for us this year. Our business has already exploded. The town has exploded. The requests from the hearts, there's traffic all over town. I very much would like to try to get something done by Scalloway.
I know, same thing.
Yes, ma'am. So that's all.
Right. I never dreamed that we would have rent issues in Taylor County, but this is the first that I know of. We have growth issues here, and we have to address them. I'd like to hear from our engineer.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate your input. It's very important to hear from you. This involves most of your property. But I do want to hear from our engineer. Obviously, this will not be solved today.
No.
But let's hear from him and then decide how we're going to proceed.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe.
Any questions?
No questions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. on face value, it's a lot. It's a lot to consider for sure. There are three different options that Mr. Brown presented to you. And you obviously you have to buy into the overall concept of taking, and I'll speak very frankly and professionally. This is an underlying objective that has two prongs. One, obviously, is the safety issue, and the second is there are just an abundance of encroachments and uses within this stretch of state roadway that is ahead. The proposal before you is, I consider, a very respectable option to address all of that in total. The state obviously is seeing an opportunity to move away from the encroachment issue and just take that completely out of their hands and transfer that to the county. You all know me very well by now. I would not be willing to stand here and say, let's consider this unless there wasn't something that we were getting out of it. So, you know, his original proposal, and I'll make this personal to say, Mr. Brown, instead of DOT every time. His original proposal was to come and lop off State Road 51. And I said, no, you know, it doesn't make any sense to end state traffic and turn that and dump it on a local road. Let's carry it up to a collector road. And he came back with that. And I think that was the right thing to do. The one-way aspect of it has the advantages, as discussed, that you obviously limit your directional flow, as well as I expect the overall volume of traffic of the looky-loos that are just driving by to see what's going on. They're going to take and now have that bypass route to get to their end destination. So I see that as a plus as well. Part of what I'm thankful for Charlie giving me some wiggle room in his last comments as how much of the eventuality that he discussed with you, because we've already had discussions of that eventuality. What is this? You know, should Taylor County be doing this? I'm saying me as a good steward, and I don't think accepting Riverside necessarily to maintain for perpetuity is that great of an idea, because it does come with liabilities. But what I had discussions with Mr. Norwood about was, let's look at the eventuality of your business. And directly in the executive summary, it says, the Kinley Horn engineer says that this section of road functions more like an internal circulator road for CPAC. And I don't think there's anything that could be further, that couldn't be further from the truth. That is exactly how this stuff operates. Charlie uses this, no disrespect, of course, Charlie uses this stretch of road as if it's his. And, you know, that is part of his business, and that's a great thing. I mean, his business has really done well. So, knowing that, my thought is that if we go through here and we are able to reroute that state traffic, improve the overall flow of our east-west direction along Beach Road, and then think down the road of, can we get out of this liability and headache of that stretch of road? And I think we can. As they said, you know, DOT was to give up their ownership in a stretch of road that's going to go to that local jurisdiction, which would be us. We have the opportunity to, as he suggested, the abandonment process. I don't agree with the abandonment process. What I would rather suggest is, and I told him this, so it's no surprise, is that I don't mind losing our ownership of that stretch of roadway, but I think that the citizens of Taylor County deserve a fair market exchange for that, as permitted under the statutes. That being either the evaluation of monetary compensation or another piece of property, like we've done in the past. The one that comes to mind is Floyd Ford that we did over on Marine Road. So I see that as, Charlie, here's an opportunity that we can clean this stuff up. This segment of road could be yours, whereas Taylor County has no more liability or responsibility for that. But we only get rid of that with an equitable compensation to the general, the remaining taxpayers of the citizens. So that's what I'm seeing down. That's my little crystal ball of how I would, if I had my brothers, I would see that eventuality. I think it's a fair compensation. You know, they're offering up additional funding to piggyback our First Avenue South project, which he said he'd love to see something done by scholar season, but that funding doesn't even come until July 1 of this year. So that's when you start the process of our project. But if that's the eventuality, you know, I'm not so sure that I would even sit here and tell you if the board would be inclined to move towards the direction of that section, the Riverside section, not being under our ownership or our liability, then I don't think we should be investing money in making those improvements through there. I don't think it's fair knowingly to say, let's invest state money in a section of infrastructure that we're going to turn right back around and give away. So that's, you know, my wrench in the operations that I think overall, logistically, it is a very sound plan. I am an option A fan. It is a design speed of, a design speed, not a posted speed. There's a difference. A design speed of 25 miles per hour. I suggested that it be reduced from the 30, which is option B. Not because I thought necessarily that 30 design speed was so much wrong, but that by tightening the curve up on a 25, I think it mimics the speed that's there today. It tracks the existing asphalt much better to where you don't have encroachment issues for the adjoining neighbor who's on that inside corner, on that east inside corner. That has a lot of positives to it. I think truly when you get to an intersection like this and we put in these stop signs, just like the gentleman, you know, was asking earlier, why was he asking about that? Because people were not paying attention to him. So I think you're just going to promote abuse of that stop sign now as it is. So I would suggest that you put it at that 25. You either post it at a 20 or a 15, which is consistent with our code ordinances. But look at the thing holistically of what do you see the end product being and how much liability are you willing to accept?
Question. We entertain the idea of closing, giving up ownership of the section of 51.
Yes, sir.
That would include all the way down.
It'd go from intersection to intersection.
Well, then the only way you could access our boat ramp is through a private.
That's not our boat ramp.
What is it?
That's Seahag.
That's Seahag's boat ramp?
Yes, sir. Ours is west of there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ours is back over here.
Oh, well, okay.
It's off the pavement.
All right, I was confused. I thought this was a county boat ramp.
No, sir.
CX. Question then.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Question. Kenneth, when you're discussing property, when you're discussing an equitable exchange,
yes, ma'am.
Could we not take into consideration the improvements to that road and the property exchange instead of lobbying against the improvements?
I guess so. You know, let's just, for simplicity, using monetary compensation. If you were to do evaluation of that stretch of right-of-way, come up with a value, and then add to that the value of the cost of the improvements that were just made, I think it's a zero-sum game, so you're not harmed.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, I think you could do that.
That might be another option. The statutes on the abandonment, Conrad, that you could charge him because everybody else gets half and half.
There's two methods. There's different methods there. I was referencing more of like the 125, I think it's 37. Anyway, like we get with Mr. Ford, you have additional opportunities when pieces of property that are under public ownership that are unusable except to a particular landowner, you are allowed to have a direct sale at a fair market value.
But this is road right away under 336.
I understand. I understand.
And if you don't force Charlie to pay for those, why haven't you done that for all these other roads that you've abandoned and just get half and half to jump on?
So it has me.
Well, I think he's told me before that you can't do that. The statute says that whoever owns the property on each side gets half of the right of way.
That is an opportunity.
Charlie owns it all, so he can get all the right of way.
There is an opportunity for that. My suggestion is I see it as, and you did one last September, and you know, I want staff and I follow the board's direction, but it doesn't necessarily mean I agree with what you decide. So I'm glad you guys can stand up here. I'm going to give you my opinion.
For sure.
And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Appreciate
what you want.
Yes.
Ooh. Sorry.
Let me make a statement.
Sure.
You know, we were economic deprived one time. And this thing had to as well as Taylor County. Looked like we gonna be economic surplus. Not only that Steen Hatchet, but Taylor County gonna grow so that we gonna have to have just high tech. There's 100 jobs coming to Perry at the end of this year from the super pub. Now in order to get 100 people back to work, we're gonna have to find some people to work. And then the year after that, they take it about 100 more. So we're talking about an economic surplus. The same thing you got there at Steen Hatchet. Which is a good thing, because there's a lot of places that don't have any developed economic growth. I think we need to do a lot of study about this and come up with something that you can live with and we can live with. And I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate Ms. Annaby and her knowledge and knowing, you know, the statues of what has happened before. And I think longevity might be her case, and it's good for all of us to know. Mm-hmm. So would we give up something? We know what we're giving up to not be talking to him. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, okay, the same issue came up on the humpback bridge at Keith Beach. The right of way there was 5,500 on both sides of that canal. Remember how much opposition the county got for not appraising that, remember, Conrad, and selling it to them, because it was the same size as the lot on this side and on this side. They just came 25 feet on each side.
Was this Pine Island Drive? If it is a legal opportunity, then that is something, in my opinion, not only as a staff person, but as a Taylor County taxpayer, I think it is only fair for a private citizen to gain the benefit of public property to only do so at a fair compensation.
Mm-hmm. How many feet of right of way does it touch on the marinas? Is Charlie
probably a couple hundred or so, I would say. Maybe 300 at the most. Hey, I'm thinking a couple hundred. It's just the north-south segment, I believe.
50-ish. 150-ish feet.
But in listening to his comments, you know, if they have expressed, obviously they have been in writing, but expressed an interest, a disinterest, in acquisition of that, especially if it remains an intercircular road, then I would say that if we could go the path of a direct sale, then that is an exclusion that even further supports that it's only available to, it would only be usable by the other adjacent property owner, which would only further support our position, I think.
Charlie, bring it.
Okay, the podium with you. I'm a business person. I want a fair, equal playing field. I'm not trying to get ahead in an unfair advance by any means. Neither one have a solution to make the road safer other than this one. Currently, DOT owns the right of way. County has no absolutely, correct me if I'm wrong here, has absolutely no expense, no liability, no future liability, no nothing. It's all bared on part of the transportation. And I'm going to do my best to speak on what's happening now. They are there on that right of way making improvements to this their stormwater drain, which runs through my property. One went under one of my houses that was settling a little bit that y'all fixed, and I appreciate that. The others goes right through the forklift launch pad. And they have given me information as of yesterday that they're checking the drains that go across the road, and they're going to mill up the road approximately 40 feet past each pipe and then completely resurface the road within the project that you're on right now. Hopefully be completed in a short period of time. So then, by doing that, they have restored, fixed, and resurfaced more than half of this road that's in question right now at their expense. And I don't remember if it was Mr. Ellington, I believe it was Mr. Ellington, our attorney, our engineer that spoke with you. I was under the assumption that DOT was going to make improvements to the road before they vacated the road. No. Okay, so that's...
They're wanting to piggyback our project. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
We want to really partner.
Okay, so
they're just giving money to expand the scope of our project.
Okay,
a lot of efficiencies with that. I mean, a short project, I mean, mobilization and stuff like that's going to cost us a lot of money. We do a standalone project for such a short length. But we pay back, there will be a lot of efficiencies. Mm-hmm. Plus, we could work with Chicago.
So you'll have some, the county will have some costs in making these changes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. To the stop sign area?
Well, let me take that back. Hopefully not. Hopefully with the funding that we receive from DOT, it will cover the extent of the improvements. So there shouldn't be, what we always try to achieve is zero local dollars for these improvement projects. So I would try not to have any local dollars.
So then my argument would be is, if we don't have the county not financially impacted by helping us fix this road problem, and they have nothing in it at this time, and why do we have to charge me for something that seems unfair? Reason why, if you expense some expenses in doing something that benefits our project, I understand that. But if you don't, and I don't know why the county has to sell this road to me and charge me for it when you closed the road for me 2 years ago that access on Park Avenue and First Avenue that others had access, and they didn't, you know, they said, look, I'm closing my property, but I don't want any access to it, we closed it.
So, two questions there. Well, the first one was, I'm still considering whether it is a Taylor County dollar or it's a state of Florida dollar as it could be a public dollar. So that was my reference in public dollars making improvements that you are knowingly or intentionally going to take and revert to private ownership in the same transaction, essentially. So that was my perspective there. It wasn't necessarily money out of Taylor County's general fund.
Right.
Then, I'm sitting here looking at the concept, so I was trying to remember what the second problem was. And maybe we'll come back to me just a second.
Folks, he and I did speak in his office about what he said about potentially having to buy the road.
Yes.
And I, how do you come up with that? How do you come up with a dollar amount? He said, well, if I, correct me if I didn't, I misunderstood something like this. You take the land adjacent to the road, you look at the assessed value of the land, you add how much more feet you're going to get from the land to the center of the road, and you do that all the way down. How much is that going to be? He said, well, you have a computer, you look at it. So I went back and started adding that up, and oh my gosh. No, I can't buy that road for that. Because the Kareems are on their side, you take their property valuation. I can't buy that land for a road to use it as a road. It could be in excess of an enormous amount of money if you use that value to achieve that use of the road.
Yeah, the only clarification I would give is in the real estate terminology, it would be comparables. Is that you would use comparables in this area to determine the, and that's what one thing you need to segregate there is the land valuation, because a lot of times, when especially in Mr. Brown, you can speak to this, when you're doing right-of-way valuations for acquisition, you know that we're not acquisitioning or getting rid of homes and other improvements that are on that property that you typically see in the valuations, but yet there is a just land value that's typically referenced, and that's what you would be considering. Which is a much lesser value.
I think we need a lawyer to help us out with
here. I'm sitting here thinking.
Yes.
Okay. A closure of roads. Okay. The statute provides when you close it, then the adjacent landowners benefit by getting property. Correct? Everybody understands that. That land also goes on the tax rolls. That's where the benefit of closing a road comes to the county, plus you do not have to maintain it any longer. And I think that's the theory of the statute of abandonment or closing a road. End of story from what I've heard.
And you're on both sides of the road.
And how long is the road?
18.
Yes, about 2 miles.
And it's 100 feet wide. That's going to be a finance. Just that by itself is going to be.
You might want to think about, you know, it'd be the right of way. It's not just the road. It's the right of way also, right?
That's what he was referencing.
100 feet
right of way.
That's going to be a nice little addition to the chunk.
That's a nice chunk.
And we all not overlooked that.
That's just,
we won't have one thing to think about the road anymore. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get tax revenue from it.
Again, there's one other thing. Historically, you know, you advertise the closure of a road. It's not just adjacent landowners that have input as to whether they want that closed or not. It's people in the public. I can imagine that, and I'm just imagining, that there's going to be a really big debate as to whether that's going to be closed or not.
I would imagine probably. I think that you're probably correct.
You know?
See, Charlie, where this thing will probably be perceived by the public is we're giving away taxpayer-owned land, a road, to a private business. It's just giving it away, you know? And we'll take some heat for it. But if it's the right thing to do, I want to do what's right. And we have historical precedent for doing this. Since I've been here for 15 years, we've never charged anybody for one of these roads. Do you ever remember one, Conrad?
Never.
Yeah.
And you never say never take it within the context
that
I just said that, y'all. But I don't remember that in any of the jurisdictions that I've represented in well over 4 years. If you understand what I'm saying, yeah, I've represented y'all for 28, whatever, 29 years.
So.
Lawanda, I just had a quick question on the upcoming project. If it becomes an issue that part of that road is being improved and then we are planning to maybe abandon it, can we change the scope of the project to back that part out and apply that funding somewhere else to improve part of the existing project?
No, I think DOT is willing to provide a payment. I mean, we can determine the scope of that project, but it's not like, well, if we take this out, we're going to get money to use somewhere else. That would go back to the big pot. It wouldn't just
even if it's within the same project, if we have a shortfall in another part of the project.
We would try to fund you completely, entirely for this project. We're not, we would work with Mr. Dudley and come up with a cost for this project and make sure it's funded.
They would adjust the amount of money they contribute to this portion of the project that is only representative of the scope of work of this portion of the project. So if the whole thing costs $500 and that one segment is $200, mm-hmm. they're only going to give you $300 because you reduced the scope.
So we can't ask for additional, we can't change it and ask for additional sidewalks or something like that.
On First Avenue, and I'm sorry for speaking, but on First Avenue, we would speak to Dave Saralanak and Kim Evans and say, here's our scope of work, here's the bids we received, here are the prices relative to the funding. And that's when they consider the District 2 coffers and say, there are or there are not additional funds that we can use to support your project as bid. That's the process we've used for 20 years.
One other thing. And this is going way back when the state gave Taylor County roads that Taylor County really didn't want.
Right.
And Taylor County had to maintain them.
Yeah.
Watch out when you talk about swapping roads for roads. Just watch out. And I'm not casting any aspersions on FDOT because y'all have been so good to Taylor County over the years, but just watch out.
And that's why I was suggesting to consider the whole process. Mm-hmm. Don't only look at what Mr. Browning gave you today, but listen to what Charlie says. And that scope broadening, and listen to what I'm suggesting, and that I don't want to stand here and say, let's start accepting portions of Riverside Drive. I'm not going to do it. You know, we've had meetings with DOT to where we told them we're not going to do it. So consider the whole process and say, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't be so apprehensive if I know that, yes, this has to go through an ownership transfer to achieve the eventuality. And that eventuality, whether you agree to abandon it or you think it's better, as I suggest, as to try to receive compensation for it, that end product is still that it gets out of county ownership or liability. And if you can get there, then I think you ought to do this. If you think you can't get there, then no, say no.
And you know, we're trying to exchange two almost equal portions. It's not like we're trying to give everything to you. I mean, we did originally come with that, and Mr. Dudley told me I was dead on arrival, so we didn't change that message. So it's not like we're trying to push everything to the county at this point. In Park Avenue, we see some complications with bringing that on the state system, too. It's not just perfect either, so.
One other thing. We've all looked in the newspaper and seen what's happened over in Franklin County.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Alligator Point. Franklin County is being sued by the citizens of Alligator Point because they have not improved, you know, because of the storm. The road at Alligator Point is, if you see pictures of this, it's in really bad shape.
And that county will never have that kind of money. I wouldn't think they can fix that road on their own.
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, that's, well, what were you going to say, Commissioner?
I don't know exactly how to phrase it very clearly, but we're talking about making improvements to a road in the same sentence almost as abandoning a road.
Yes.
I don't want to face 40 citizens saying you fixed up the road and spent a whole pile of money on it just to get it to charge. So can we reduce the scope of what we need to do to as little as possible to the road? And I think one of the maybe
to divert that, those funds to some other better use?
I'll say yes, sir. But I'm going to caveat that yes, sir.
Okay.
And yes, I would expect DOT would be very amenable to reducing the scope of work to say that we're going to make the State Road 51 rerouting improvements as well as the 361 improvements. And that's the scope of work there. And we can handle the additional stuff with signage on the existing road surface,
yeah,
with some traffic issues too. Second would be that, no, they're not going to take the funding for that leg that we're not doing and give it to you on something else. You can't
get it out of those. But isn't that the same project? That's not the same project.
No, it's not.
Okay.
What I would like to see would be for us to be able to tell the citizens, yes, we did a little improvement here that needed to be done. Yes, we abandoned this road for reasons that benefit us, the county, from a tax perspective in the future. And look what we got besides. We got a sidewalk, or we got some paving elsewhere. All packaged in one deal, it would be a lot more palatable, I think, sell to the public. That's just my thing.
I want to ask the board, what do y'all think about charging our staff to work with the FDOT and people involved and come back to us after you've done more research and put numbers or whatever you need to do, and come back to us and let's discuss this again. And perhaps at that time you would have, excuse me, a proposal. It kind of sounds like, and I haven't heard from anybody but you, in terms of maybe turning this road over to a private person. I'd like to hear from the other three.
Troy, how far up here do you want on this side? Tell me exactly where you're going.
You want to do it? Well, I can understand that, but then they're going to have a dead end here with people parking here.
No, they agreed to let people park in front of their place. They just want it anyone to have to go all the way.
Well,
we have to give them a little bit of a bridge
on the side of the road. That would end up having problems. We could have just give you the first side there, but we'd have to give you the side there.
I don't want to. Because they don't want to lie to their names.
Here's what I wanted to
do. And then subsequently, they want to see it.
Can
we get right back with it?
Can I make one recommendation back that we want to see?
Charlie and Jim.
Jim.
Yes, what was your recommendation?
Can we just approach the public with this? Set up a meeting May 14th. Hatchet Community Center, go to the public and just seek their input and then come back to you and kind of with the comments that you receive. Or we can come here. I mean, I just want to kind of go to the public.
Unless you've got something pretty concrete to tell the public, you've got 100 people, they're going to have 100 different opinions of what to do, which, I mean, that's why we have a public hearing. When is it, May 15th? 14. Okay, so that's not that long off. I'm thinking that we need staff and y'all to get together. I don't know what you can really come up with between now and the 14th, but yeah, I mean.
I think we're together from an overall perspective of what this project is. What we need is the clarification of, here's a proposal, how would you like to carry it to eventuality?
That's what we don't know.
But I don't know that we can Maybe next Tuesday we can discuss it during the workshop and be a little bit less formal.
Let's do that. Let's because clearly I've heard from other commissioners that this needs more discussion, other than just this hour here today.
And in the meantime, perhaps Conrad and I will do additional legislative investigation, and maybe he can help me with what is the legal means of us getting it, the right means to getting it to the private transfer, whether that is an opportunity for compensation or if it's just a strict abandonment.
Okay.
Because it may dictate how you handle it if the legal process says you can only do it
that's
this way.
Right. So that's good. Let's do that. Let's come back on Tuesday.
Yes, ma'am.
Discuss it more in depth. And
that'll give him his marching orders on how he can, which proposal yes. he can present on the May meeting.
Would that work for you?
Are we okay moving forward? Because we did want to notify everybody along first and kind of send out some notices out there. Hey, there's a meeting.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, go ahead.
We won't show a concept at this point until we hear back from you, but we'll at least start notifying. Hey, there's a meeting to discuss this area, I'm sure.
Okay, Mr. Ridgeway, you got something you want to say?
If I may, Madam Chairman. Stephen Hatchie, just a citizen that happens to live in Stephen Hatchie and uses the roads every day, and listening and looking at what's proposed before you, I'd like to bring up two or three things. Park Street is just as congested as in front of the marina. Now, on weekends or when a fishing tournament is, I come down Riverside, and instead of going through Charlie's Place, I come to Park Street. I get up to First Avenue. Sometimes I've had to wait over 10 minutes to turn on to First. If you're going to reroute there, please look at a broader picture and consider a traffic light there. The other thing, in the last 20 years, I've heard comments pro and con against rerouting 51 to First Avenue. And the big drawback for the county that I've heard is the maintenance of what is now 51 Riverside Avenue after a storm. However, because of the new county boat ramp and the traffic, First Avenue is the desired road to get to it. If the county and FDOT could work out some sort of agreement on maintenance of the riverside if a storm should come here, the long-term view as a citizen would be to make First Avenue 51 the main feeder to the boat ramp. That would bypass all of this around Charlie's business, except in the back. This is definitely a problem. It's only going to get worse. At the public hearing, I can guarantee there will be people in Steam Hashing that will not like anything that's been presented here today.
I'm sure.
I'm talking that. Yeah.
The burning Park Street, because it's the closest street to Seahead, is the easy way to look at it. If you don't revert there and you go back to the Baptist Church, which is the next road east that goes between Riverside and First Avenue, you can divert it there. But you would have the same problem where that road hits First Avenue if you were trying to get on First Avenue going west or east during the business times of the year, which is call-up season, fishing tournaments, just plain fishing now. We have many, many more vehicles on those roads. And if you try to turn on First Avenue, you're going to sit and wait. Thank you for your time.
Sure. And I can tell you that
however this shakes out, we're not going to please everybody. There's still going to be, whatever direction we go, there's going to be people that like it and people that don't.
Okay.
I've been here for almost 10 years, and that's the way it goes. We just have to try to make the best decision for the most people with the least amount of impact that we can. Right now, I don't know what that's going to be.
Right.
That's why we've got staff working on it. It's a complicated issue with not an easy fix.
Have you asked the staff to look down the road 15 years or 20 years and try to solve it now? Yeah.
Well, our engineer is really good about looking into the future. He mentioned something about that.
Right. But at some point, with the traffic that's coming into Steen Hatchie, First Avenue is going to be your, what you end up with, going from east to west. I've seen that now for a number of years where it was very little traffic there. Thankfully, business has improved, and we have businesses like CHAD that provide employment and revenue. And we've got another one coming in that will be just as big or bigger. And that's coming in this coming year. It's already under construction. That's going to load, put more pressure on the roads.
What kind of backup in traffic do you see on First Avenue during the middle of the summer, during the season? Can you describe that?
In the middle of the summer, during the season,
traffic on
there is backup there. We have more permanent residents now in Steen Hatchie than we had 5 years ago. We have more hunters, we have more fishermen, we have more tourists. I'm associated as volunteer at the Little House Library. It's also the Welcome Center on a volunteer basis. Any given Saturday or Wednesday when it's open the longest, those 2 days, we get people from the Midwest, we get people from Minnesota, New Hampshire, Connecticut, England, Sweden, France. They're showing up there now. Steen Hatchie is being advertised all of those places. Probably 3% of them are looking for either second homes or a place to retire. They're looking at Steen Hatchie. When you do this fix, whatever you end up doing, don't look at the short term of 5 years or so. Look at the long term. And I don't know if an agreement could be reached with FDOT on maintenance of Riverside Avenue when the storm hits. But at some point, that's going to be in county hands. I may not live to see it, I'm in my 80s. But most of you people will.
Thank you, Mr. Ridgway.
Thank you.
Yes.
A little input into this back of what Stan, you were asking about. Steve Hart, Steve Hatchie, Florida, the stop sign.
Go ahead.
I agree with what Stan said. During the summer, and especially during the peak weeks, people were backed up. There was one day they were backed up halfway to Madison Market down First Avenue. If you live west of the boat ramp, you cannot get to the other side of town. So I'm just letting you know, like you said, the plan ahead. Because if you don't reroute this with the boat ramp and get the traffic around the boat ramp with people over there, because like I say, once you're over there, unless you're on a golf cart and you can wiggle your way out, you can't even get to the other side of town.
We need a flyover.
You got to do something.
Just to Steve's concerns, Hank and I were already discussing this morning, because of the development that is proposed further down and the congestion that we see at the Steen Hatchie boat ramp. We are trying to look at possibilities of taking that through westbound traffic some way from the east side over to the west side without it having to run through that. And it's primarily in the morning launching times, try to get it away from that congestion.
You're talking like a flyover.
Yes, exactly.
You've got major problems down there. Like I say, Charlie, I agree with him. He's got a major safety issue right there with pedestrians especially, so.
And it's only gonna get worse because when you know what's going on, and we have to look down the road at more permanent solutions. We got a problem right now that we have to find a solution to, but we also have to plan way ahead.
Then I can't believe you were talking about trying to appease everyone. When this comes up, you're gonna need a bigger room. A lot bigger room. It'll be really exciting.
We can go to the court room and have your law court.
Okay, anybody guess?
Two last things.
Couple minutes.
Not even that. First of all, thank you for everything. I understand this didn't start out being a private. This conception of this never was to make this room private.
I understand.
Okay. It was given to what can we do? Mm-hmm. And it was, we can't do it. So then it was, if the county takes it, the county can do anything they want to do. Because it's a county road. Then,
I do not, aside from the common truth, I am not going to stand up there and suggest that Fayette County accept any portion of Riverside for a perpetual responsibility.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So that's why I went to that conclusion.
So that's the only reason we're here at that. So the last thing was on conceptual A, B, or C. They're all great, by the way. Everything has been great. But I have three neighbors on Park Avenue, and I've discussed with everybody around me that's around me that would be affected by this. The Pattersons are absolutely, completely against letting traffic just go flying by there.
Oh, sure.
They own property on both sides of the highway just like I do, and they would like it stopped before it turns right. So I know that I'm going to have, and I agree with them, but I know that they just don't want that fast traffic going by. So other than that, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I think, we're going to bring this back, we are going to bring this back up Tuesday sometime at our workshop. Begins at 6 o'clock. And hope your staff will bring back some other information, and we'll talk about this. Y'all feel free to come back, bring anybody you want to with you. And we'll see where we end up Tuesday night. Anybody else?
Thank you for your time.
And thank you. Thank you for working with us, and hopefully we can fix it all. Okay, where are we? My goodness. Does anybody need to take a 5 minute break before we go ahead?
Madam Chair, can the fire chief go ahead and present his item? Because I think he has another fire.
Possible call. Call.
Okay, what number are you?
Some more. Number next one.
Yes, well, let's go ahead.
Sorry,
hold on. The board to consider approval to submit Firehouse Subs Foundation online grant application to be used for vehicle extrication equipment as agenda by the fire chief.
I'll do it real quick. We're asking for two sets of these, we call them Tommy tools. They cut and spread on metal. They're battery powered. We have one in service already. They work really well. We really like them. We're going to put them on our outline engines, so most of our volunteer trucks. If we're successful in this grant, we're going to be able to take some items off of our capital items list, save the county some money. Best news, it's 100% funding grant, so there's no cost match.
Go for it.
Good. Is there a motion to approve?
No, to approve.
Second.
We got a motion by Commissioner Clay, second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So
thank you.
Thank you. Y'all want to go ahead or you want to take a break?
Let's go ahead.
Go ahead. Item number 22, the board to consider approval of change order in the amount of $2,900 for the contract rehabilitation work through the SHIP program on One Home, and consider approving the exceeding arbitrary cost limits for the SHIP local housing assistance plan as agenda by Jamie Griffey.
Motion to approve.
Second. We got a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Gibbs. Any further discussion?
Not related.
Not related.
Not related.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 23, the board to consider approval of the change order number one to the contract between the county and PCA Electrical Contractors, Inc. in the amount of $9,200 for the upgrade airfield lighting project at Perry Foley Airport as agenda by the grants director.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We got a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 24, the board to consider reapproval of the Hampton Springs Park Site host job description and host application as agenda by the grants director.
Motion to approve. I read it too.
And that's before you cut, right?
I said we got a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
We got a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dent. Any further discussion? I guess I just want to make sure staff has thoroughly gone through all of this and.
Yes, ma'am. And this was previously approved by the board. We just wanted to make sure that you didn't have any changes that you wanted to make so that we can move ahead with advertising. We're currently in the process of getting the site ready out there for the park post, and we'd like to move ahead and advertise.
Let's go ahead and advertise. Let's get somebody out there yesterday.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 25, the board to consider accepting the bid committee recommendation for right-of-way mowing bids and award contract to Carrie Pool Lawn Works as agenda by Hank Evans, Public Works Director. Is there a motion?
Motion. Second.
Got a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dent. Any further comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. General business. Item 26, the board to consider passing the county attorney to revise the current economic ad valorem tax exemption ordinance with requested changes as agenda by the county administrator.
Motion to approve.
Second.
What changes? We got a motion by Commissioner Page, a second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion?
There's been quite a bit of discussion about any changes y'all wanted to the ordinance. And then at the last workshop, the county attorney came and presented the ordinance line by line, and he felt like that maybe we didn't need changes because it's a good ordinance and everything is working for us. There was discussion, I believe, about the due date for the applications, if we want to leave that as is. And then there was a discussion of adding something that would require people to have paid their taxes before we grant them an exemption. If the board wants these changes, this is the time, because we've discussed it many times, but I don't know that we came to a landing point about any changes that the board wanted to make.
I personally like the changes.
I like the changes. I believe it's a part of the deal that he would already have gotten those changes.
Well, no, sir, because it was just discussed at a workshop, and we've discussed it many times, but I don't know that we've asked him to make those changes. So this is more of a housekeeping item. And just to clarify any changes the board wanted to make.
So you want new changes where you have to pay your taxes?
Or they have to be due?
A date.
Just a date. I'll rephrase my motion. You let me.
Well, I got one thing I want to say about it while we're talking. Mr. Conrad, it'll be where clear in there that if they don't come up with the information to prove that they're being exempt, that we can take the exemption away from them?
You can, yes.
That's going to be clear.
It's already
in there. Yeah. It's in there.
I just want to make sure that doesn't get changed.
No, we're not going to change that.
Okay.
Unless you tell me to.
No, and the board in the consent agenda approved the form that we would require businesses to complete.
In other words, it's going to be the same form as we had, but but it's on the added tax part in?
No, sir, we, no, the only form that we had previously was the application. This is an annual form where by January 31st, the business who is receiving this exemption would complete this form and turn it in, and then if they are not meeting the conditions under which this exemption was granted, then we would bring that to the board, and the board would have the opportunity to continue the exemption or not continue the exemption.
Thank you.
Is that correct?
Right. Well, okay. Let me make that. Let me. Can't see now.
You hear you.
Okay. All right. You want me to amend to make sure that they pay the taxes? Okay. That can be done. And then the date to file the application. What date do you want?
What date did we discuss? Yes. We wanted to file it by April 1st.
March the 1st.
March the 1st.
Right. What was wrong with that date?
Well, I don't know that there was anything wrong in our eyes. I believe that the TCDA did bring up that depending on when they turn in their application, was there enough time to have everything turned in? And I just wasn't sure about that.
I think there is enough time.
Okay.
One other thing, while we're here talking about this, I'm going to switch gears with you with regard to this. Remember when somebody makes an application for this, you don't have to give them 10 years.
You
can give them 1 year. And that's something y'all need to think about when they make that application and they come before the board. Is it? Because if you only give them 1 year, then you can extend it, you know. The 10 years is a long time.
Yes, it is.
You know, and I know on things that you have to do if you're in business, you need to tickler, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I have to tickler things that I have to do. And anybody's been in my office, they know that I put something I have to do in the chair, so I make sure I remember to do it. So so like I said, folks can forget that they need to do this. And if you shorten the time that they have it, then they probably won't forget, if you're following what I'm saying.
Yeah. Why don't we do something like up to 5 years, and then up to, we can choose anywhere from 1 to 5 years.
Well, it's up to 10, so you can, you still have it. I'm not saying that you have to give it 10 years. In other words, if I came up to you and I said, I'm doing the business, you know, and I want 10 years, and you say, well, I'm not going to give you 10 years. I'll give you 3 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm just giving you that to remember that in the future when you have an application like that.
And what I'm saying is I'm okay with lowering that up to 5 years.
Well, you'd have to amend the
Well, it all depends on how big the project is.
Yeah.
What incentive we want to offer to try to get them to come here.
Right, and what the tax loss will be.
Wasn't that in the advertisement when they put it on the ballot? Mm-hmm.
10 years. Yes, it's 10 years. It's just up to 10 years.
Okay.
We got discretion.
So what I'm hearing is that you want to amend it and make sure that they've paid all the taxes.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's my motion.
Prior to the application.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
State your motion one more time.
My motion is that we pass the county attorney to revise the current economic ad valorem tax exemption ordinance with the change that the taxes by the applicant must be paid at the time of the application.
Up to date.
Up to date, right.
I'll do that.
I'll take that.
Okay. At time of application or at time of ordinance is approved? Because a lot of businesses do wait until
the application.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And while we're on that subject, where are we with Michael Lynn?
He has, we have received his annual report. He did forward it to us prior to the deadline, the extended deadline. I had some questions about his report, so I have forwarded the information to Conrad. So we can review it prior to the next board meeting when it will be on the agenda.
Okay.
We need to talk about it at the workshop, or just wait and do it at the next board meeting.
Well, I believe it will probably take board action, so, I mean, we can talk about it at the next workshop.
We have need to, because we got a big agenda on the next workshop.
Yes, sir.
I really don't need to, because it's going to work its way out anyway when we're done.
But yes, we did receive it by the deadline.
County Administrator Adams, number 27, the board to consider approval of a request from the Census Bureau to form and appoint one commissioner to the Census 2020 Complete Count Committee as agendized by the County Administrator. Are there any volunteers to for this Census Complete Count Committee? Okay. If there's not, Commissioner Murphy, would you accept this position?
Where is this to take place here in this county?
Well, if we fashion it as we did the 2010 Complete Count Committee, we would just have meetings here at the boardroom, okay. And we would ask for community partners. It's mainly to like so we can get the word. Sir?
It's considered like a public file audit. Is that what our position would be? That's kind of
our
we're not included in the count. We're not counting.
No, sir, we are not counting. This is mainly to get information out to citizens about employment opportunities and the importance in taking a part of the census. We will be offering some of our buildings, our county buildings, as locations for the Complete Count Committee or the Census Bureau representatives to use. And they usually provide us with some promotional tools. And we will, Marcia Durden is actually going to be our staff person on this committee. But the Census Bureau is requesting a commissioner to be appointed to this committee as well.
Well, that sounds interesting. I'll give it a try.
Okay.
Is there a motion to appoint Commissioner Murphy?
Motion.
Second.
Commissioner Murphy.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 28. The board to consider approval of request to add Sand Hill Cemetery to the county mowing list as agendized by the county administrator.
So we were approached by Robert Lynn, who was on the Sand Hill Cemetery Committee, with a request that we add the Sand Hill Cemetery to our mowing list. It is a very small cemetery. They are offering use of space within the cemetery if we should need it for indigent burials. And I will say that we will do whatever the board asks. Obviously, if we add another cemetery to our list, that's taking time of our inmate work squad from something else, but I don't believe this will take a lot of time. It's a very small cemetery. My biggest concern, I don't know that we can use our Z-turn mowers because it's, I think somebody could mow it with a riding mower.
A push mower, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm in favor of adding it, especially, you know, if anybody can be buried there and if it helps us out with the indigent burials. Just knowing that everybody understands that it may not be kept like your front lawn all the time.
Right.
We'll do the very best we can. Because, you know, we have a lot of work to do with a very limited supply and a workforce. So.
And just so the board understands, we do have a policy regarding our indigent burials. Typically, those souls are cremated. But we did come up with a situation recently where we knew there was someone next of kin who would not give consent. In cases like that, we feel like to lessen liability, it is better to have someone buried than to cremate them. We are looking at different options with some of our local funeral homes and trying to any way we can to lessen the burden on taxpayers. But this something like this may be an option for us in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Absolutely, we go ahead and do it. And it's less than eight, I understand.
We have a motion by Commissioner Gibbs.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Page.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. On the recent indigent burial, did we have to pay for that cemetery plot?
Yes.
So I would assume that that was probably a lot of the cost of, yeah.
Yes.
Now, can we get an indigent burial in a free plot on Sand Hill? Is that called a death in the cremation?
It may, I don't. By the time you factor in transportation and things like that, it may be about the same. My biggest concern was liability.
Right. You know, we won't have that many direct burials for indigent people.
No, sir. We can always, now, like I said, we've been working with a local funeral home, and we can exercise the option of having these souls accepted at the anatomical board, but that that involves embalming, and there is an expense to that as well. But then we don't have the liability. So if we get another case where we know we cannot, we know there's family and we can't get a hold of them, we will move much quicker to see if the anatomical board will accept this soul, and then we would pay for the embalming and the transportation, which would probably end up being actually more than a cremation by the time the soul's in bed.
Okay, item 29, the board to consider instructing the county attorney to draft an ordinance prohibiting vaping at all county parks as agended by the county administrator. Now, with all county parks, that means recreational facilities.
Yes, ma'am.
Sports complex.
Park capital.
Yes, ma'am. I believe, looking back, wording is recreational facilities. So it would include Horse Capital Hall, sports complex, all of our parks.
And we'll put up signs because now it's not just vaping tobacco. So we don't want vaping.
Right.
Far enough to turn you can write the ordinance so you can't vape on county property, period.
Right, exactly. We do that too.
It's county property?
County property.
County property.
Well, we include parks and any
parks, boat ramps, the courthouse, this boardroom.
Well, I don't know about that because there are some county properties where smoking is allowed. So do we
want...
Yeah,
but you could do... Wait a minute. There's a smoking... area,
right.
But you still have the right to just say no vaping anywhere.
To me, personally, vaping is more obnoxious than smoking.
I think so as well.
Getting on ground.
Yeah. No, I used to be a smoker. I like to stand by somebody puffing a good old smell of cigarette.
I think that we should have smoking or vaping or dipping or chewing or drinking alcohol at any of our county-owned properties.
Well, I think you can do that at Fort Capitol, so money rent it, can't you? I know you can do it on city property.
City property, you can just go to the beer tent.
I'm thinking more of our employees who may vape instead of smoke, and I would hate for them to have to leave their place of employment. But it's up to the board. That was the only thought I had.
Well, maybe we should offer, what is it, cessation?
Cessation.
Yeah, to the employees. I know we did that at the hospital, mm-hmm. And I had a couple of employees that smoked, and they would find a way to go smoke. But we offered that with patches, and both of those people that had smoked their whole life were able to quit. And it helps on your health insurance?
Well, they are offered that through our health insurance program, cessation assistance. That is part of our health plan.
Is it something that you talked about and kind of brought forward and from time to time annually or something?
I want to think about it.
Yeah. We're kind of off subject, but... Okay, so back to what we're talking about.
Give me some help.
Commissioner Page, what are your...
I don't know, but what do you want? You want to answer. Sort of help with postage. You won't pay for me no parks, so they couldn't have no county, it's all county parks.
Well, I think it would be more manageable if the ordinance was amended prohibiting, you know, adding vaping at all recreational facilities.
Well, what this would be a brand new ordinance. It wouldn't be amending the tobacco ones.
Okay.
What it would be a new ordinance just saying because vaping is something new. Mm-hmm. And as I understood it, what you wanted at that time was the county parks and the sports mm-hmm. center, sport complex. And
let's start with that. Is that okay with the board?
Right.
I mean, that's not my purpose, but it's a good start.
Not my preference either, but let's, I'm going to go along with a lot of recommendations.
Well,
I move that we ask our attorney to draft for the board's consideration an ordinance prohibiting vaping at all county recreational facilities, including Clark County Park. To work.
That means boat ramps.
That means boat ramps.
That works for me.
Go ahead. No problem.
Now, if you've got somebody at the Lewis Department, then he vapes and then smoke break. You got vaping, yes. I mean, it's all right.
Does anybody know what a different definition for vaping? I'm going to Google it, but I mean, I want to make sure that I...
Well, I hear in the paper and I see where the legislature is doing this and that and the other is vaping.
Always vaping?
Vaping.
I'm looking at the newspaper, man. Is there another definition?
I mean, that was one of the constitutional amendments specifically stated vaping.
Or smokeless to... Okay, I'm on Google it.
I'm sure there's a specific definition. The title of the amendment that passed, one of them was vaping.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of some smart aleck lawyer saying, what's vaping? Mm-hmm. You know?
Put vaping or whatever, not because a lot of people would only know what vaping means.
I didn't know,
what vaping means.
It took me a while to figure it out what it was. Okay, we'll do it. Okay. You want a penalty?
Yes. Why do it if you're not going to enforce it?
Okay. $25 fine?
Still a fine.
$100.
$100
fine?
$100.
$100.
The first time.
Double each time there. Before you get this.
Is that going to be the fine going to be done through code enforcement?
$6.
While we're on that subject, I'd like to say something. I was approached by the resource officer at the vocational school. I don't know if y'all read about the vocational school while it's open during the day, but right across the street on 4th Capitol Hall, people park over there on the other side and go to the vocational. And the reason they do that is where they can smoke and one thing or another on the other side of the highway.
On our property.
On our property. And the cigarette butts get thrown out on the ground right there, so we have to clean up. The resource officer said we needed to get some special signs put on that side of the highway to give them the right to carry the drug dogs over there. Now they don't have the right to do it only on the school ground. So they could carry the drugs. So I talked to Mr. Fager about it. He said he was going to research the signs that we needed to put on that on the north side of the highway.
I'm all for it.
I'm all for it.
And that'll eliminate smoking. Yeah. And
I've had some complaints. That's some garden club members, including my wife, about people from over there. No.
The resource officer out there says that they just leave the school and go there and smoke and what have you, and then come back to school. And he has no jurisdiction to go over there with it.
He can stop that. Okay, we've got a motion. Did we have a second?
Second.
Any further? Yes.
Apparently the language they used in the constitutional amendment was vapor generating electronic devices.
Here we are.
Vapor
generating electronic devices.
Commonly known as vaping, right?
Which is considered an impairment.
Yes, and some people have been hurt by it.
You have a contained explosion in your hand. Yes.
Facing. Yeah, we don't need that in the way.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 30, the county administrator to discuss informational items.
County offices will be closed on Friday. which means that our road department and some of our environmental services department will be closed on Thursday as well. We'll not be working Thursday as well, in observance of Good Friday. We have quite a full agenda on the staff side for the board workshop. If you have anything else that you would like to add, please get it to us this week, just because it's a short week. We have requested a meeting with FWC and DEP regarding Restore Act projects. I have not received a response yet, but we are still pursuing that meeting. And mosquito spraying has not started yet. The temperatures are actually even lower than they were 2 weeks ago. So I'm thinking maybe by the end of the month we'll start spraying. But we have not been receiving any calls and the counts are not high. So we're ready. We're just waiting to move forward with that. And we have been able to secure the bathrooms at Hampton Springs Park. It took quite an effort to clean up what was there. It appeared that the locks had maybe been shot open. So we have replaced the locks again with heavy duty locks, and as you heard, we are trying to move forward with the host site so we can secure that location.
Thank you.
And that's it.
Let me ask before you go.
Yes, sir.
We have a person in the audience, John Phillips. Had some problems over at the courthouse the other day. Have you heard anything about it?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay, Mr. Phillips is out there. Can we hear from him now? He asked for some direction, and we got the attorney here that maybe he can tell us something.
Sure. Okay, are you done?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, if you're done, then let me go ahead and open up the next.
Okay.
Item 31, comments and concerns from the public from non-agenda items. Now come forward, sir, and state your name and address for us.
First of all, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for hearing. My name is John Phillips. I'm a lifelong resident of Perry, Florida. I worked for law enforcement over two decades. And my problem was on January 17th, I came to the courthouse to conduct some business, and as I was leaving the courthouse, a piece of rebar caught on the front of my son's Honda Accord, which is mostly plastic in the front, and it pulled it away from it. And when I got out and looked at it, it had buckled. So I went inside the courthouse and I spoke with one of the deputies, and I told him what had happened, and he said, well, there's nothing we can do. And I said, well, surely, you know, I'm on county property. And I said, well, who can I talk to? And he says, nobody, you know, and I felt badly. I actually had to take my shoestring and tie my bumper back up to drive home. And I spoke to several people and they didn't give me an avenue to go to. And so I ended up taking it to Marlins, getting it fixed. I paid out of my own pocket. And so finally I came here and Marsha told me the paperwork that I could fill out. Well, I filled out the paperwork and I even had her go over and take pictures of the rebar sticking up. And as a matter of fact, myself and Mr. Demps Sunday went over and looked at it. It has since been rectified. I had spray paint where it was so that she could see and take pictures of it. Well, I called on her about 3 weeks later and they told me that it was still in the works. And then a few days later, I got this letter from the Florida Association of Counties Trust. And basically said, long story short, said, since our investigation has failed to find any negligence on the county, as they did not have any prior notice, nor were they aware of any problem with this location prior to your reported incident, will not be able to assist you with the cost of the damage to your vehicle. The only part I have with that is it said that it had not been reported, which does not mean it didn't happen. Okay. When it happened, I went up and I spoke to the deputies about it. And one deputy in particular stated to me, we've seen it happen to several vehicles, you know. And my only problem is I mean, I'm a taxpaying citizen just like everybody else, and I don't want anything out of this except what I paid for it. I didn't do anything to my car. I drove it up there, I got ready to leave. The rebar pulled it out.
The rebar was taken up above the concrete?
Yes, sir.
How high was it up above the concrete?
Not big.
Yeah, in other words, it was malfunction.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the Deputy State Committee, they had seen it happen before.
You didn't know, you didn't request to get an accident report?
He told me there was nothing they could do. I asked him, I went immediately. I said, what can be done? And he said, there's nothing we can do. And the only reason I knew to come here, because I was at wit's end, I said, well, I'll just go over here and ask. And Marshall told me other paperwork, which I followed through with.
Now, did it put your tire?
No, sir. It,
pulled the cap.
It pulled the front of it. When I pulled up, when I got ready to back up, it hung under the
cowl.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's plastic. Yeah. So when I heard it pop, that's when I got out and looked, and I was like, oh my goodness. And then I went inside and talked to the deputy, and like I said, I had to tie it up and drive it home. Because
yeah, you were dragging on the road.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
If you'd have got an accident report done, I know they told you they couldn't do it, then your insurance company could have handled it.
Well, here's my thing, as far as filing insurance on it, it cost, I think, $680 to fix it. And when I took it to the modeling, the lady filed me, she said, you'd be better off paying out of your pocket, because if you pay take the insurance company, they're going to pay $160 and your insurance is going to go up.
What did you end up paying?
I even sent in a copy of everything of $683, if I'm not mistaken. And like I said, all I want out of the deal is, I just want what I paid. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong.
I want to ask our attorney's advice.
Well, number one, it needs to be put on your agenda, because you can't do anything today on it. The other thing, of course, if he is reported to his insurance company, he's probably got deductible, deductible, and so, and that's what. Can I call you John? Because we know each other.
Yes, sir.
Okay. first thing needs to be done is that needs to be fixed.
It had been rectified. Yeah.
Oh, it's been fixed. Okay. But I really think that would be on the agenda, we need to consider whether we're going to help him out with that. I really do.
I do too.
To be really fair. And what I'm saying is that we can't do anything about today because it wasn't on the agenda.
Understood.
But if you'll put it on the agenda for the next regular meeting, I think y'all need to make a decision on that.
Madam Chair.
I don't have no problem with taking, so that was our fault. That's the three bars picking up.
Well, let me just say that aside from this citizen complaint, and I certainly understand your frustration, but once our liability company issues a ruling, we do not typically pay for the damages from our budget. We don't have a line item for that. And so there have been other citizens whose claims have been denied because of a ruling that the insurance company made, and we typically do not make, do not pay for those damages. Mm-hmm. So we may need to get some advice from our liability company as well.
Do they say it's the responsibility of the person that had the accident and between them and their insurance company?
They don't typically give advice from what I recall to the citizen. They strictly rule whether or not it was due to a liability on the county's side. And if they don't feel like there was negligence, they typically do not pay.
I think you need to ask the insurance carrier to reconsider.
I don't agree with that letter that John got.
I don't
know. I'll be frank with you.
And we have felt the same way. Other we understand.
And typically, they settle cases that I don't think they ought to settle, and then they deny cases that I think they ought to settle. I mean, I'm just being frank with you on that. Y'all need to consider this claim at your next regular meeting.
Okay, let's do that then. Sir, we're going to put it on our next agenda, which is May the, what is it?
I think it's 6.
And then we can vote on it then.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you all for the energy.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the public wish to speak? If not, item 32, board informational items. Commissioner Murphy?
Well, at this current time, I don't have anything to bring to the board's attention. I would like to thank everybody who come today. It's been pretty interesting thus far.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Commissioner Gibbs?
No, nothing else. Since we talked about with the 15-20, that's good. And they have forced them. Thank you, John.
Thank you all for hearing.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Page?
I have a brief report on the solid waste board meeting which occurred last evening. Only two things that I'll mention since 12:22. One is that the board voted to do an RFQ seeking legal services from an attorney. And in our board meeting, which would be the also a solid waste attorney. And the reason is that this applicant must come from one of the member counties, Taylor, Madison, Jefferson, Dixon. And Conrad, here's another opportunity. Now, our RFQ process works. We negotiate with the first one, and then you go down the list. So we'll see where that comes. And last night's meeting, we could have used an attorney to answer a couple of questions. But anyway, I was proud of the board for doing that. Because our engineer does not want an attorney over there. We need one made to keep him in mind. Frank, I told tape, I said. And the second thing is that the University of Florida has received a grant from DEP, which regulates landfills, to do a study of rural counties' recycling efforts. And so they're coming to Oshawa Landfill since it represents four rural counties. But a group of students and the professors have asked for some staff, and we agreed to let them use two employees for a week. And what they do is they're going to take a load of garbage from, say, Taylor County. And they got the table set up, and they're going to pick the front end loader and dump it all out, and those students are going to pick through it, and they're going to see what should have been recycled and what should not have, to get some data. And then they're going to catch a load from the city of Perry, and then from Monticello. And there was some discussion about, well, if we know in advance what week they're coming, we clean up a load for them. And we decided, no, let's don't try to skew that data, because if we still rely on our recycling efforts, they're going to set a bar that we can't meet. On the other hand, you can say, let's care for real trashy load. And then if you do that, they're going to say, why has it been doing better? So our advice is, don't tell our solid waste people to do anything. Just haul the garbage like you've been hauling. Don't try to skew the data. And whatever comes out of it, it'll be fair. So, other than that, it's a good meeting. We did spend a lot of money. Had a good meal one. It wasn't my favorite, but it was good. Thanks for listening to us. That's all.
I had one person call me this week, real upset, about they went to the garbage dump and the people wouldn't let them dump their garbage without their car.
I got the email.
Okay, so went back and got the car. And he told me, he said, I wish I'd have got one of the stickers. I wouldn't have to worry about that. I'd have it on my window and I wouldn't have to worry about leaving the car on it. So that's something we need to really address is from here on out. We don't need to. They need stickers to put on the windshield or on the bumper and do away with that car business in the future, and then people won't have that issue. They won't be upset. And I'm glad the man that don't want him to show it. You know, they need to show it.
It's much different. I got an email from a lady in my district, and I forwarded it to Wanda, and the employee is a new employee. He works just on Sundays. He had one bag of garbage over there, some blue. And he asked for the car, and she didn't have it.
and she didn't live about a half mile from there. She was going back to the house she got. She emailed her county commissioner, kind of threw them under the bus a little bit. But she told me in the email, I think she offered her driver's license. We need to educate our rural tenants that nothing up so down here in Blue Road, and if you live on a road that's near there, and it shows up on your driver's license, you can assume they live, don't live in the city. You still judge them once in a while.
Well, that doesn't mean that she takes the assessment, though, which is really the what we tie the cars back to. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, well,
and we've educated that employee that one gap of garbage, you know, isn't going to make a difference if we have...
Oh, we're just actually turning this every way one time.
You know, these people, they ought to be mad at themselves.
They ought to.
Instead of being mad at the
county
and the law.
Yeah, exactly right.
I would be mad at myself. I can't believe I forgot a car and I've gone over there. I wouldn't be mad at them because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
They were doing their job, what they're asked to do, and I'm glad they're doing that. But we just, like that gentleman said, we just needed to have stickers, and that would eliminate all that car business from one part of the book or one bill pulled to another. You know, I just solve that problem.
A lot of people don't want any more stickers. Mm-hmm. They got a Free River Hunting Club sticker, and they got a NRA sticker, and whatever it is. They don't want
a boat ramp sticker. Oh, right. I can get one more.
Anything else?
I did.
Let me have one more.
Go ahead.
I do want to say, I did get a call from two citizens talking about the toll road. Tomorrow, the 17th, the boat builder pool and center. About the appropriation. It said 20, it passed 20 to 0 last week, and going tomorrow, so I'll probably pass 40 to 0. But they're saying that the growth would be astronomical and would be devastated to the county. That's what that person said. And you just wonder, is that something, have anybody heard from my senator as to why he voted for it? Well, did anybody know what was coming before he got there, you know? I was asked a lot of questions. I told him I didn't know. I was going to get on the block with this Senate thing, you know? So, with that being said, tomorrow, sometime we will go to the pool center.
You know, Commissioner, on one hand, people talk about economic development. We need more jobs.
Yeah.
And then you've got people over here, I have people tell me, I don't want nobody else to move into town.
Yeah. Build a wall.
So a growth is going to happen, and you know, I look forward to some growth. It'll help our economy, and maybe, you know, like you said before, keep our children home.
Yes.
But anybody else? Would you have anything? Anybody else? Okay, the only question I have, and I forget, which one is it that rehabs or replaces mobile homes? Is it the ship or the CDBG?
I think it's, I'll have to double check. I think
would you check on that? Because I have someone that their home is falling down on, and it's a mobile home, and I told him that I would check and see if we have the program in effect now that does help with mobile homes.
One of our economic councils does some work on mobile homes.
His needs to be replaced.
Will replace.
See in a flood zone? Flood zone? Or no?
I hope not. I asked him and he wasn't sure. Okay. So that's kind of maybe the first thing we'd have to check on. It's not the same one that we've been opening with. This is another.
Okay.
Well, then that ought to be easier than a ship. One of the other just building you on.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was saying. It depends on where he lives.
I'm like for him. I'll get the application for him. He needs help.
Okay.
Appreciate everybody being here. And it's an honor and privilege to serve. If there's no more business, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Everybody have a good evening.
Yes,
sir. And thank you for coming.
We do know that. We got a professional opinion. I just have
No.
Do you have a copy